Yes, hallelujah. Come on in and let's worship him. Yes, Lord. Glory to God. You are the answer, Lord. Waymaker, miracle worker, mischiever in the darkness. That is who you are. Oh, yes, Lord. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. That is who you are. Oh, glory to God. Yes, 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 yes. I worship you. Yeah, how about something else? Glory to God. I worship you. Come on in this morning. Glory to God. Yes, Lord. Glory to God. Good morning, everyone. Good morning, and welcome to our room this morning. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Good morning, everyone. Sister Chichilayo, good to see you. Sister Elaine and Shara and Sam, blessings to all of you this morning. And good morning, honey. We are going to have a powerful prayer session here this morning. Glory to God. So we are inviting prayer warriors to come on in and join us. So let's share the room. Share the room on Clubhouse. Share the room this morning. Welcome, Elisha. God bless you. And let's share the room and invite people in. We are going to load up some fire, prayer fire here this morning. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Welcome, everyone, again. Please feel free to share the room. Invite people. Share it on Clubhouse. Invite people to join us. And we are starting right away. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Honey, are you there? Let's go ahead.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. This is the day the Lord has made. We'll rejoice. And we'll be glad in it. Father, we just thank you. We bless you this morning. We thank you for waking us up in the land of the living. We thank you, O Lord, because without you, we can do nothing. Thank you, Lord, because you are the very breath of our nostrils, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for giving us life, an abundant life. Father, Lord, we have come again to your presence. Thank you for this time that we are in. Lord, you said I would do a new thing. Ah, Lord, you did. You are doing a new thing. And Lord, our ears is tingling right now. Lord, to hear people, everyone, their ears are tingling to hear the things that you are doing. Blessed be the name of the Lord that's called us even to this time. Lord, that you are blessing your people. You are gathering your people. Father, unto you shall the gathering of the people be. Lord, we thank you. We bless your holy name. We say good morning. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity, Lord, to be in the midst of good people of these men and women of God that you have called, even at this hour. We thank you, Lord, for this room that you have created, a place where we can gather, Lord, from all over the world. We thank you. Father, it does not matter the distance. It does not matter where we are. Lord, we thank you. We can hear our voices. Lord, we can see our pictures. We can see our faces here. We thank you. We thank you for the man of God that you have called at this time, Lord, to do the cry and to gather the people. We thank you, Lord, because you will enable him. Lord, you are the one that does the gathering. Lord, you are the one that give us the auction, both to will and to do your good pleasure. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for the opportunity. We thank you for everyone that is in this room. We thank you for those that are still coming. Lord, that you will wake us up. We are still sleeping. Lord, that we will come. Lord, this is a new day that you have made. We will rejoice and we'll be glad in it. Lord, we thank you, Lord, because the benefit of today that you have given us, the fresh anointing of words that you're going to download upon us today. Lord, we will receive it with thanksgiving. Lord, we thank you, Lord, because you have the blood of Jesus that was shed on the cross of Calvary for the cleansing, Lord. We thank you for that cleansing. You will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You have cleansed us, O Lord, and will remain clean, O Lord. Father, we thank you. We bless your holy name. Father, we ask now that you will help us in this room as we start this room, Lord, that you will be with us. Let the words flow like honey from the honeycomb. Lord, let the mouth of my husband be like a fresh anointing, Lord. Speak through him, Lord, like you will speak, Lord, like the oracle of God. In the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, and we that are the hearers, Lord, we take it to heart, O Lord. And he will also not be a castaway after saying all these things, that he himself will leave even the things that he has spoken. In the name of Jesus, I pray. In Jesus' name, we declare the room opened. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Amen.
Yeah. God bless everyone that's in the room. Good morning and welcome. I see you. I acknowledge everyone that's in the room. Thank you for joining us, Sister Elaine, Sister Grace, Brother Sam, and Shara. God bless you. Thank you for joining us. And Prophetess, God bless you. Good morning. Prophetess Kenya, welcome to our room. Well, we're going to have a power, another prayer fire time in God's presence this morning. We invite you to open your hearts to the Lord, make yourselves available. That's what it's all about. You know, if we make ourselves available, that's all that God is looking for. Glory to God. So this morning, prayer warriors on duty. Hallelujah. That's what we are talking about and going to be talking about today. So, are you a prayer warrior? Are you fired up to pray even this morning and stand in the gap for God's people? Is that you this morning? Well, we want to ask everyone to make themselves available. I will be sharing some scriptures and making a clarion call. Glory to God. You know, it says, sanctify ye a fast. Call a solemn assembly. Gather the elders and all the inhabitants of the land into the house of the Lord your God and cry unto the Lord. For the day of the Lord is at hand. And as a destruction shall it come from the Almighty. Well, you know, the day of the Lord is at hand. But first, the Lord will do a powerful work. That's right. He's got to leave a witness. He said of Adam, it is not good that a man should be alone. I'll create a help meet. And so Jesus also has a help meet in the bride elect at this time. Just like he was here with a powerful demonstration of the power of God that was upon him for about the space of 3.5 years. Even so, the bride elect will come into their place. They will be that midnight, the voice of the midnight cry, alerting the people of the coming of the Lord. But they will demonstrate the character of the Lord, the fullness. There will be an expression of his kingdom right here upon the earth. We got to show the people, you know, before the Lord comes. The Bible says, you know, Sammy said, look, I will go in the strength of the Lord, God Almighty. I will show thy power to this generation, thy glory to everyone that is to come. So today we call upon you. We call upon everyone else, you know, to come in and let us pray and let us call upon the name of the Lord. You know, God doesn't do anything until first he says it is time. There's an unction from the throne. This is how things work in heaven. First, there's an unction from the throne. In fact, in his presence, you know, nothing actually moves unless God gives the unction. But when God says it is time, then he begins to, you know, that unction goes forth from him. Everything originates from him. He is a source of everything. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit moved upon the face of the deep in the beginning. That's the beginning of all things. The Holy Spirit must move. Once he moves, glory to God. And he says, look, now it is time. Then he puts it in the hearts of the people. And then they begin to cry unto him. That's how it works, you know, and then God will say, yeah, you know, it's time. Again, he will begin to look down and he begin to open his ears and he say, well, I've seen their affliction, but now I hear their cry. I am now set forth to go down and do something about it. Praise God. And God is raising up his people who will actually also do something about it. That's right. You know, God doesn't want to be the only one that can do something about it. He wants us to be able to do something about the situation as well. You know, that's why we're coming into his image. We're coming into his likeness. And there is more to it than just, you know, authority. Once we come into his image and his likeness, we will have full dominion, which is means do as you please. Whatever you do, that's why he cannot give that dominion to anybody, because people don't know how to express his character. If God gave people true dominion today, the first thing they would do is kill all their enemies. And that's not God's plan at all. You know, so that's why people don't have it, because they have not come into his image and his likeness. But God's calling us to come into his image and his likeness. And when we begin to receive the heart of God, then we can do things like Jesus did. How God anointed him with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Glory to God. So today, let us see what God is calling us onto. Isaiah chapter 62, verses 6 and 7. The Lord is looking for prayer warriors. Some people call them intercessors. Well, prayer is all kinds of, there's all kinds of categories of prayers. Intercessory prayer definitely is one of them. And we're going to talk about that a little bit today. But let's look at Isaiah 62. Let's look at this call and this invitation. He says, I have set watchmen upon thy walls, O Jerusalem. Well, that was Jerusalem. You put the name of your city there, put the name of your community there, put whatever there. God has set you as a watchman, which shall never hold their peace, day nor night, Ye that make mention of the Lord. This is an invitation. Ye that make mention of the Lord, keep not silence. Did you know that Jesus himself, he told stories like this? Give him no rest till he established, till he make Jerusalem a praise in the earth. Well, substitute whatever you want for Jerusalem. Whatever it is that we are crying to the Lord about, substitute that here. Because the Lord told these stories himself in Luke chapter 18 to the intent that men ought always to pray and not to faint or give up. He gave many stories. And these coming from the Lord himself, I love the one about the woman that went to the judge and say, avenge me of my adversary. And the judge couldn't care. You know, he wouldn't give her the time of day. And in his heart, it's like, look, I don't have time for this. But because the woman continued to pressure him and gave him no rest, and he's thinking in my heart, look, even though I don't care about this man, this woman's case, I have no respect for her. I couldn't care less about God or man. You know, wicked judge in his heart. But he said, the only way for me to get rid of this woman, because she's going to wear me out with her continual coming, only way to get rid of her is do what she wants. Give her what she wants already so she can leave me alone. And Jesus said, look, did you hear what the unjust judge said? And if you do the same thing, shall not God, your Father, answer you speedily? He said, in fact, I tell you, he will answer you speedily. You know, so we're looking for that kind of importunity in prayer, that kind of relentless getting a hold of God and not turning loose until he does what we're asking him to do. And what we are asking him to do today is bring in righteousness. I mean, there is so much evil in the land. So much evil in the land. You know, especially even in the house of God. You know, it's appalling the things that are going on. But the Lord has given an opportunity for us to be the ones that will sigh and pray over the abominations that are done, not only in our cities, but the things that we see even in the household of faith. It is time for us to pray, because there is coming our time, and now is. A judgment must begin at the house of God. Unfortunately, that is so sad, but that is the truth. In the book of Ezekiel chapter 9, you know, he said, I heard in my ears a loud voice saying, cause them that have charge over the city to draw near, every man with his destroying weapon in his hand. And behold, six men came from the way of the higher gate, which lieth toward the north, and every man a slaughter weapon in his hand, and one man among them was clothed with linen. He also had a writer's ink horn by his side. And they went in and stood beside the brazen altar. And the glory of the God of Israel was gone up from the cherub where he was to the threshold of the house. And he called to the man clothed with linen and who had the writer's ink horn by his side. And he said to him, go through the midst of the city. Go through the midst of Jerusalem. Well, that was Jerusalem then, but it's not only Jerusalem now. Set a mark upon the heads of the men that sigh and cry for all the abominations that are done in the midst thereof. And then to the others, he said in my hearing, go ye after him through the city and smite. Let not your eyes spare. Neither have ye pity. Slay utterly the old and the young, both maidens and children and women, but come near not any man upon whom is the mark. And there are some people that are set apart. because they are watchmen, and they are sighing for the abominations that are done in the land. They are grieved for the things that they see, and they are praying for a change. Glory to God. And God said, set them apart. And after you have done that, then go in behind this and begin at my sanctuary. Begin at, you know, some people think that, you know, God is just a God of love. You know, he only, he loves us. He does this. I mean, prophecy, they say, is for edification, for exhortation, for comfort. All of those things are true. But I tell you what, if you think that God doesn't get angry and can't get angry at his church, you got another thing coming. You know, so you got to read the book of, read through the Gospels. If you think Jesus doesn't get angry, he's just this nice person all the time. You know, that's all he is, just nice, you know, and so forth. Jesus got angry. You know, he took the whip. He overturned their things in the temple. Said, my house shall be the house of prayer. And he began to whip every one of them. Turned everything over, you know. And he was a young man. He was only in his early 30s, you know. But he didn't care of any of their faces. You know, the zeal of the Lord came upon him. The zeal of the house of the Lord came upon him. He overturned their tables, you know, the money changer, everything. Turned everything upside down, whipped them out of that place. You think he doesn't get angry? You know, go read the first couple of chapters of Revelation. If you think God doesn't get angry at his church, he said, look, you have a woman there, you know, that's causing my people to commit fornication. I will cast her children into a bed of affliction. I will kill her children with the death. And so forth like that. And his eyes were like fire when he spoke these things. Hebrews 12 and 29. Our God is a consuming fire. And people think, oh yeah, God is aware. We're now in the time of grace. Well, we are in the time of grace. And this is the very grace. I'll give you opportunity. Give the people opportunity to repent. You know, but if they don't repent, here's what the Lord said about himself. When he said to Moses, you know, when Moses asked him in Exodus 33, he said, show me your glory, Lord. And the Lord said, look, I will indeed show you something, you know, but you can't see my face. Go stand over here. And when I pass by you, I will declare the name of the Lord. I will proclaim the name of the Lord. That's what the Lord said to him. He said, go stand over here, and on such and such a time, I will pass by and I will proclaim the name of the Lord. And when the Lord passed by, what did he proclaim? Well, the Bible says the Lord passed by and proclaimed. This is the Lord proclaiming the name of the Lord. He proclaimed his own name. And this is how he did. The Lord descended in the cloud, Exodus 34 and verse 5, and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. This is the Lord proclaiming his own name. This is not Moses saying what God, who is God. This is God describing himself. The Lord proclaimed the name of the Lord. When the Lord passed by him, he, the Lord, proclaimed his own name as follows. The Lord God, merciful and gracious. That's the greatest part of his attributes. The first thing he put his best attribute forward is his mercy, his graciousness, his long-suffering, his goodness, and all these things. Abundant in goodness and truth. Keeping mercy for thousands. This is what God wants us to have. The goodness of God, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, you know, but God is a righteous God. There's always two sides to it. There is his goodness and then there is his severity. So his severity is, and I will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, third and fourth generation and so forth like that. You know, say, can God, will God do these things? Well, you know, God doesn't do those things anymore. I'll tell you something. Let judgment begin at my house. Jesus told the same parables many times. He said, look, let them both grow together. The parable of the wheat and the tares in Matthew 13. You know, but at the end, you know, I will send forth the reapers, and they will gather first all the things that offend out of my kingdom. Gather the tares and bundle them and put them in the fire, and then cause my barn, you know, the wheat to come into my barn. Ah, my goodness. You know, all the Jezebel spirits, you know, all the fake and false prophets and the lying tongues that are all over the place today. Those who prophesy lying divinations, God said, I am against them. You know, and it is time that God is going to do something. You know, there's coming a time, and now it's, God's going to cleanse out some of these things. You know, but, you know, they will, evil doers will continue. They will wax worse and worse. They will be deceiving and being deceived themselves. But what is our role even now? Well, first of all, God has called us to be watchmen. And, you know, watchmen must have their eyes wide open. You cannot be blind. Have your eyes wide open. That's number one. Jesus said, look, if the blind lead the blind, they shall both fall into the ditch. You know, because they're both blind. And I say to people, well, you don't need to fall into the ditch with any blind leaders. You will only both fall into the ditch if you are both blind. Let them be blind, but you have your eyes wide open. Now, but God is calling us, you know, to God is calling, and we are calling the people to repentance. He said, the times of ignorance, God has winked at, but now he commands every man everywhere to repent. And those that have taken the name of the Lord in vain, those that are making merchandise of the people of God, you know, it is time they better repent, because this man with the ink horn rider is mocking the ones that are sighing and crying for the abomination that they see. And then the slaughter powers are coming right after them. Our God is a consuming fire. Our God is a consuming fire. He's also a loving God. You know, if you receive his mercy, if you receive his graciousness, you don't have to deal with his severity. But you must be in that truth. Those who have perverted the gospel, they are enemies of the gospel, enemies of righteousness. It's all over the place. This is preventing the outbreak of the great revival, you know, and we got to pray these things out. We've got to pray for God to send a cleansing. Send a cleansing. But, you know, people are not, you know, people don't want the real revival. You know, they don't. You know, what they just want is, you know, somebody to tell them all the things that they want to hear, because they have itching ears. But that's what we, as, you know, prayer warriors, will pray today. We'll stand in the gap and pray against all this evil that is done in the land. So, ladies and gentlemen, there are many opportunities for people to repent. You know, Lord said, look, I gave you a long rope that you should repent. But if you don't repent, then here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to come against you with the sword of my mouth. You know, that's exactly what he said. I will fight against you with the sword of my mouth. Glory to God. you know, and he said, look, this is the time I'm going to have to deal with all this stuff. I am going to have to get rid of all these things in my church, you know, and all the wickedness and all the things that are going on. I gave her space to repent, he said. Read it in Revelation 2. If you think that Jesus doesn't get angry with his church. He said, look, that woman Jezebel that calleth herself a prophetess, you know, well, there are a lot of such people today, and even worse among the men. They call themselves a prophet. They call themselves this. They call themselves that. You know, seduce my servants to commit fornication, eat things sacrificed to idols, you know, create the golden calf, you know, that people will follow and all of that. He said, and I have given them space to repent. I gave them space to repent. Revelation 2 and 21. But they did not repent. Therefore, I will cast her into a bear. And then I commit fornication and adultery into great tribulation except they repent. And I will kill her children with death. You say, God can't speak like that. Well, he did. And this is in the New Testament. This is not even in the Old Testament. This is even after Christ was already glorified. When it came to John on the Isle of Patmos, so he said, oh, these things, you know, those things don't happen in the Old New Testament. Well, here it is right here. I will kill her children with death. And all the churches shall know that I am he that searches the hearts. And I will give everyone, you know, according, you know, to their works. You know, so it is time that, you know, people must receive according to their works. We don't even want to wait until we get to heaven. People need to start receiving according to their works right now. Because this thing is preventing the power and the flood of the Spirit to come. It's just too much going on. You know, when you have a water hose and it's all clogged up with, you know, things inside, you know, or the plumbing in your house is clogged up with calcium deposits and all these things, or there are kinks in the garden hose, then the water can't flow throughly, you know, freely through there. So there's a lot of kinks, there's a lot of clogs. You know, when the wheel is clogged too, it can't move. So all of these things must be cleansed. And God is calling for a cleansing. You know, now, there is a call today to prayer. And I want to talk about some of the prayer that we should be praying, you know, as New Testament believers. Not just, Father, give me this, Father, give me that, and all that. This is what we pray about all the time. Most people. But Jesus said, look, these are the things that the heathen are always asking for. Give me this, give me that. And Jesus telling them in Matthew chapter 6, what is the difference between you and the unbelievers? If that's all you pray about. Every time you come in prayer, it's give me this, give me the other one. You know, help me to pay my rent and help me to do this and help me to do that. This is what the unbelievers pray. A unbeliever's prayer is always about God, get me out of trouble. Help me to do this. They pray. You think unbelievers pray all the time. But it's always about God getting them, bailing them out of some situation. The unbeliever will not pray this kind of prayer. That is in Ephesians chapter 1 that says, the eyes of my understanding being enlightened, that I may know, also in Ephesians 3, that I may know the things of God, that I may know him, that is a God that executed judgment and righteousness. I pray that my heart will be filled with understanding of the knowledge of the Son of God. Can unbeliever pray that? Of course not. Can unbeliever pray for the power and revival of God to sweep the church? Of course not. All they pray about, give me this, give me that, give me this, give me that, give me this, give me that. You know, so now we need to change our prayer language. Prayer language. Away from, you know, all these things. So let me read it to you here in Matthew chapter 6. These are basic things that Jesus taught while I was here. And they are simple things, but they are true nonetheless. These are the foundations of God, Jesus' teachings, foundational teachings, which people don't take, you know, they don't take any account of it. They just ignore it. Said, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or where shall we be clothed? Matthew chapter 6, begin to tell them in verse 31. Before that, he even talked about, you know, take no thought for raiment. Consider the lilies of the field. He talked about, you know, take no thought for yourself. You know, how, if can you add one thing to your cubit or one hair to your head and all these things? He talked about the body is more than raiment. Take no thought for your life. You know, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? You know, and before he started all of that, he said, look, you cannot serve God and mammon. Mammon is the money-making spirit or pursuing of it. You know, people, you know, they're just in pursuit of that. That's what they care about. Well, you know, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. If you think that, you know, if that's the thing that you're following, cold and calf, that's where your heart will be. But Jesus said, look, you cannot serve two masters. You cannot. You can either serve God or you serve mammon. You can't do it both ways. And all those who are pushing mammon in the body of Christ, it is time for there to be a cleansing. You know, because somebody says, well, the writer says money answereth all things. Well, are you a thing? Does money answer you? Well, God is the only one that can answer you. God, I'm not a thing. Money cannot answer me. The only thing that can answer you is the Spirit of God. There is a yearning and a vacuum in your heart. And only God can fill it. Money cannot fill it. Because money can only answer things. But I'm not a thing. I'm made in the image and the likeness of God. And money cannot answer me, folks. There is no amount of money. Now, what is your price? You know, everybody has a price. We talked about that the other day when we did, you know, buy the truth and sell it not. What is your price? Well, today's lesson is for us to pray. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 to 4. Paul is going to talk about different kinds of prayers that we should be praying. And align that with what Jesus said, when we pray, it's not only about give me this, give me that, give me this, give me that. You know, we got to pray things that align with the kingdom of God and his righteousness. I have to read that in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. When we pray this kind of prayer that Paul is talking to Timothy about, what should we be praying about? I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, that's one kind of prayer. Prayers, that's another kind of prayer. Intercessions, that's another kind of prayer. And thanksgiving, which yet another, be made for all men. Wow. So we have supplications. That's making requests or petition for something. You know, there are many places in the Bible where we have supplications. Some good examples were Daniel. Daniel, in the book of Daniel, chapter 9, the first 23 verses, it gives a story of Daniel praying and aligning himself with the people's unrighteousness and asking for God's mercy. That's right. That's how we pray the prayer. You know, it's not, you know, when we pray this prayer, we're not going to say they have sinned. We're going to say we have sinned. That's how God, you know, that's how the real prayer works. Daniel was not part of this mess, but yet he associated himself with it. And when he began to pray, he said, we have sinned. Daniel chapter 9 and verse 5. And we have committed iniquity, I have done wickedly and rebelled, even by departing from thy precepts and from thy judgment. Neither have we hearkened unto thy servants, the prophets, as speaking the name of the Lord to our kings and princes and so forth. O Lord. And then, you see, then you have to acknowledge the fact that God is righteous. You know, because he's the one that gave us the rules, but we don't follow. So the confusion is common to us because we don't follow. That's what Daniel says. Say, O Lord God, righteousness belong unto thee, but unto us confusion of faces, as it is this day. And so on and so forth. And he began to pray and he began to call. Now, confusion of faces, Lord, belong to us. He said it second time. To our kings, to our princes, to our fathers, because we have sinned against you. But to the Lord belong mercies and forgiveness, even though we have rebelled against it. So you have to remind God of that. Yes, all these evils come upon us because we have forsaken your precepts. We have followed the golden calf and all of these things. We have heaped to ourselves teachers because we have itching ears. And instead of following the truth and the voice of the shepherd, we follow all this crazy stuff. And so all these things and confusion come upon us. But now, oh God, you know, you begin to pray. You know, you begin to bring it back to the Lord and say, now, oh God, remember thy great promises which you have promised us, that in the last days you sent forth your spirit upon all flesh. You know, and remember that the ones for your elect will be different and that you will call us out of all this evil. And remember also, Lord, remember thy work in the midst of the years. We begin to pray. That's a pattern of prayer that we're going to do today. First, we acknowledge the wickedness. We acknowledge the sin, you know, and then we begin to pray. You say, now, therefore, O God, hear the prayer of thy servant and his supplications. So this is a kind of supplication prayer. And cause thy face to shine upon thy sanctuary, which is desolate. Daniel chapter 9 and verse 17. For the Lord's sake, O Lord God, incline thine ear and hear. Open thine eyes and behold our desolations. And the city, which is called by name, and the church, which is called by thy name. For we do present, you know, we do not present our supplications to you because of our righteousness, but for your great mercy's sake. Now, this is how to beseech the Lord. First, you acknowledge the evil. You align yourself with it to represent. You know, did you know that Jesus, who knew no sin, as we are told in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and 21, was made sin for us? 1 Corinthians chapter 5, I mean, 2 Corinthians. He was made sin for us because he knew no sin. But yet God put upon him, you know, all these things. 2 Corinthians 5:21. He was made sin for us. He became sin. In order for him to really battle through, remember, he was praying and blood was coming out of his head. You know, he had to take on upon himself the whole darkness of the world at that time. And this is how you pray, supplication prayer. This is how you pray through for God to do something. You know, when he's, you know, he aligned himself. Jesus not only aligned himself with the sin of the people, he actually took the sin. He actually became sin for us. Daniel is doing a small portion of that today. He cannot be sin for everybody, anybody, but he's aligning himself with the sin of the land and he's calling out for God. This is how you do it. You know, you cannot be, look, you cannot be holier than thou when you are praying supplication prayer for God's revival. You can't do it. It's not going to work. You know, if you stand and say, well, you know, God said, look, you must take away from the midst of thee the putting forth of the finger. You know, that's a real fast. When you really call upon the Lord, you have to take away the putting forth of the finger. It's not about putting forth the finger. It's about us, all of us, we have sinned. And then when you begin to do that, even though you yourself may not have participated in that, but when you begin to do that, Christ was not a sinner, but yet he took up all our sins. Daniel was not part of this mess, but yet he was praying that kind of prayer. And then when you begin to pray like that, the Lord said, the Lord will hear from heaven. Glory to God. He will truly hear from heaven. The way that we must pray prayers to make God to hear for this kind of prayer, that we pray for God to heal the land Second Chronicles chapter 7, you know, tells you the ingredients for true revival. Glory to God. How that we must pray that true kind of prayer. This is what Solomon prayed. He said, if the Lord, you know, is reminding the Lord of the things that he said. God, first of all, told him these things, and later he prayed it when he was using that prayer and when he was dedicating the temple. But here's what God said to Solomon. He said, look, if I shut up heaven, 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 13, if I shut up heaven that there be no rain, well, I see heaven is shut up now. There is no true rain. What we see now is false rain. You know, and if I command the locusts to devour the land, is that not what's happening? And if I send pestilence among the people, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. Now, this is point blank promise if we pray the right way. And we must know how to pray the right way. You know, and Solomon, when he was dedicating the temple, you know, he would pray this kind of prayer. In 1 Kings chapter 8, from about, you know, verse 22 to 61, amazing prayer that he prayed. I'm not going to read all of it because it's too long. But he prayed the prayer. He stood before the altar. He spread forth his hands toward heaven. And first of all, he started out telling God how great he is. You know, God, there is none like you. In heaven above, who keepeth covenant and mercy to thy servants that walk before thee with an open heart. You know, and then who has kept you with David, my father, this day? That which you have spoken with your mouth, you have fulfilled it with your hand as it is this day. And he began to tell the Lord great things. Now, then he began to remind the Lord of all the things that, you know, and begin to beseech him, you know, that, you know, the when they make prayer and supplication in that place, that God should hear. When there is mildew or blasting or pestilence that sent upon the land, the people come and lift their hands in this place, that God should hear. Begin to tell God the same things that God already said, you know, that if you pray, I will heal their land. That's how we pray. Intercessions is prayer on behalf of somebody else. That's what intercession is. You stand in prayer on behalf of somebody else. Well, the Holy Ghost himself, we are told, makes intercession for us. In Romans chapter 8, verses 26 to 27, with groanings that cannot be uttered. And I covered this in one of the rooms about a week and a half or so ago, that look, groaning in the Holy Ghost is not just speaking in tongues. That's just praying with your spirit. But praying in the Holy Ghost is a dimension unknown to most, you know, because whether you are praying in an unknown language or you're praying in the language you know, it can switch gears into groanings in the spirit. And that's beyond just rattling away in tongues for something, you know, some people speak in tongues. There is no impact. And that's not groaning in the spirit. But when the Holy Ghost really groans in the spirit, you'll know it, you know, when you're there. Intercession is also standing in prayer in the gap for somebody else. A great example is Abraham when he interceded for Sodom because Lot was there. God was going to go over and destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. Genesis chapter 18, verses 20 to 33. We covered this the other day. How he began to negotiate with God. You know, how he began to plead with God. If you find 50 people there, will you destroy the place? And so on and so forth. That's intercession. He did that. Intercession. I've covered supplications and I'm covering intercessions now. Intercessions. I mean, there are many people who are mighty intercessors in the Bible. When you pray and stand the gap, Moses was also like that. Moses prayed in Exodus 32, you know, when the anger of God was kindled, you know, against the people. My goodness. And God was about to destroy them all. He said, look, let me alone. Let me wipe out these people. The Lord said to Moses, Exodus 32, verses 9 and 10. They're stiff-necked people. They've provoked me too many times. I'm going to kill them. I'm going to consume them all, and I will make of thee a great nation. And Moses said, no. Praise the Lord. Moses said, no, Lord, don't let your anger wax hot against your people, which thou hast brought forth by a mighty hand out of the land of Egypt. Why should the heathen say to them that the Lord wanted to do them mischief, which is why he brought them here, and began to stand in the gap. Glory to God. He began to stand in the gap. And the Lord repented him of the evil that he thought to do unto this people. Ah, blessed be the name of the Lord. All he needs, folks, is for somebody that will stand in the gap. Ezekiel chapter 22, verse 30. That's all that he's looking for. Somebody that can stand in the gap, like Moses, that can call upon the name of the Lord. That's what he's looking for. But did he find it, or will he find it? Well, sometimes he will, sometimes he doesn't. He said, and I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land. Ezekiel 22 and verse 30. That I should not destroy it, but I found none. Now that's so pitiful. That's so sad. Will God find an intercessor today? Will you be one that will stand in the gap so that God will not destroy his people? He said, because he couldn't find anything, he said, I poured out my indignation upon them, and I consumed them in my wrath, because, there was no intercessor. If there had been an intercessor, perhaps all of that might have been, God may have, changed his mind. God may have had mercy. Read also Ezekiel chapter 13 and read verse 5, said the same thing, talking about, what God is even calling out the foolish prophets here. He said, look, woe unto the foolish prophets that follow their own spirit. And there's a lot on this app like that. I said it. You heard it. A lot of foolish prophets, but not just on this app, everywhere, that follow their own spirits, and they're just doing whatever they want, and they have seen nothing. They are like foxes. The Lord said, O Israel, your prophets are like foxes in the deserts. Ezekiel 13 and verse 4. Let's call them out. They have not gone up into the gaps, neither made up the hedge for Israel to stand in the day of battle. Well, a real true prophet, this is what they do. They stand before the Lord, in the day of battle. And God is calling all of us actually to be that, because God has rejected all these false prophets, because they are not doing what they should be doing. So God's calling you, Remember, he has made us all kings and priests. God's calling you into that position of kings and priests to stand in the gap. He said, but these ones, they see lying visionations, see vanity and lying divination all day. They said the Lord has said, well, the Lord hasn't said, and he said, look, you have seen a vain vision and you have spoken a thing of lying divination, when the Lord has not said it. And the Lord said, because you have spoken vanity and seen lies, therefore I am against you. And this is a point blank, thus said the Lord, against all false and lying prophets that give lying divinations that the Lord has not sent them, but they have an agenda of their own. Rather than being a man of prayer, to pray for revival, to pray for souls to come into the kingdom, out here, doing whatever they like, and people are falling hook, line, and sinker for these things. It's just so sad. My hand shall be upon the prophets that see vanity and that divine lies, and they shall not be in the assembly of my people anymore. Glory to God. It's time. But I pray for everyone that they may repent. But if they don't want to repent, well, there's only one way out, you know. So, but they have to repent. Because the time of ignorance, God has winked at it, but he's not commanding everyone everywhere to repent. So all the lying prophets must repent. They shall no longer be in the assembly of my people. Neither shall they be written in the writing of the house of Israel. Neither shall they enter into the land. And ye shall know, anytime he puts his signature like that, that ye shall know that I am the Lord. You know that this is serious business. You know, when John saw him on the Isle of Patmos, he wasn't messing around. You know, his eyes were like fire. You know, there was fire from his loins all the way down. His voice like a thunders. You know, I mean, he does. This is not the one. This is not the same one that you sat with at dinner, John. And you were eating, you're rubbing shoulders with him. You probably even leaned upon his shoulder and everything. This is not that one. This is the Alpha and Omega. You know, he's different now. His eyes are like a flame of fire. And when John saw him, he fell at his feet as dead. He's all, you know, he's not messing around right now. I will cast her children into the bed and I'll kill them with death. They don't repent. And this is not, this is not for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That's a time for everything. You know, this is the time wherein it is said, let him that is holy be holy still. Let him that is unrighteous be alright. There's going to come in a separation. It's a separating hour. And now first, I'm calling the people to recognize that that's the time that we're in now. And I'm calling you to pray and to begin to pray for this kind of separation. That God, Jesus said, my fan is in my hand and I will thoroughly purge my floor. Well, let's pray it to happen. Glory to God. When God has promised something, we must pray it to happen. That's how it must be. Hallelujah. And he said, because even they have seduced my people, you know, and done all of these things. He said, look, there shall evil come upon them and I will deal with them. My hand will be upon them with a strong hand and my stormy wind in my fury, you know, and I will be upon them, send hailstones, my fury and everything, you know. So, you know, and so we need to really pray. Well, we are not going to pray for judgment against anybody. We're just going to pray for cleansing. We need cleansing. We need God to cleanse because we want the true power of God. You know, it is time. We got, you know, enough of this already. So, you know, we don't want the judgment and the fiery eyes of God against anybody. Oh, absolutely not. You don't want that. But we want the people to repent. But we're saying that if people don't repent, this is what we're going to have to deal with. You know, but we pray that everybody will repent and turn around. So we're going to be praying also for God's, you know, grace to bring a turnaround, conviction into the hearts of the people, you know, so that they will turn to the Lord. So there's prayer to be prayed. There's intercessions like that, you know, and then there are some people that even made intercession for their enemies. You know, do you know that? Stephen prayed for his enemies. In Acts chapter 7, verses 54 to 60, they were stoning him to death, but yet he was praying, you know, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. The same thing like Jesus prayed, holding not to their charge. Jesus prayed the same prayer, you know, holding not to their charge. Luke 23 and 34, thereabouts, was praying. And the Lord, the same thing, you know, Stephen did. So this is how we pray. You know, we don't call fire down on anybody. Some of his disciples, sons of thunder, James and John, he called them, you know, the Boanerges, sons of thunder. They wanted to do that. Oh, let's call fire down like Elijah did. Jesus said, you don't even know what spirit you have. So we no, that's not, you know, what we want is God to do his thing. We're just calling this out so people know that this thing is real. God can do this. He can bring a sword. He can do it too. So we don't want people to forget that side of God. Don't forget that our God is a consuming fire. Hebrews 12 and 29. People forget that sometimes. You know, so we're not out here asking God to consume anybody. But we want God to thoroughly purge his floor and cleanse. Give the people a turnaround in their hearts. That would be great. You know, but if they won't, then they got to step aside. You know, God must send you, say, I will send you shepherds and pastors after my own heart. That's what we want. You know, we want a true revival. Glory to God. So then there is giving of thanks. You know, you give thanks. So give thanks with a grateful heart. You just give thanks. You know that giving of thanks, what does it really do? Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 says, look, you don't be anxious for anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And what is the next thing that he says after that? You know, he says, and the peace of God. So there's something about thanksgiving that brings peace in your heart. After you have prayed your heart out and you thank God for it, he will give you peace. Now, this is the New Testament prayer too. Let me bring this in. It's not about God always, you know, even in our personal things. It's not about God always removing the storm. He may or may not. But it is about God giving you peace through the storm. That's the other way also to pray. You know, it's not about, Lord, take away the storm, but it make me bigger than the storm. You know, when the devil tries to put yoke on you and so forth, you know, then you grow in the grace and stature of our Lord Jesus Christ. You grow, your muscles get bigger and snap those things off. Glory to God. It, you know, shake yourself from the bands around your neck. Hallelujah. You know, so that's the kind of prayer. It brings peace after you give thanksgiving. You have peace even in the situation. You know you've laid it all out there. It's in the golden vials now. It's in his hands now. And then you begin to thank him. And then he will do it too. You know, when we begin to pray like that, you thank him. You say, you know, bless the Lord, you know, all my soul, for his mercy endureth forever. You begin to thank him for all the things that you've prayed about. And you begin to tell him and call out his goodness. You know, he will do it too. And that's how we wrap up prayer, is really with thanksgiving. You know, no matter how much time we spend in prayer, if we don't put thanksgiving with it, you're not going to have that peace that passes all understanding concerning the situation, even in your personal life. Today, I've been focusing on the, you know, what we need to pray for the church. But let me take a few minutes and talk about even our personal lives. If you don't know how to bring thanksgiving with that prayer and supplication, you're not going to have peace. The anxiety that he talks about in verse 6, Philippians 4 and 6, you know, when you bring thanksgiving at the end of that, after praying it, then he will give you peace. He didn't say he will remove the problem, but he will give you peace. And the peace of God that passes understanding will keep your minds and heart. He will just give you peace over that situation, especially when you bring thanksgiving. Now, most people pray a lot about, you know, things that they're going through when they're going through. But we forget to give thanksgiving. You know, thanksgiving. Praise him for what he is yet to do. Thank him for what he has already done. Thanksgiving is what he has already done. You know, you're thanking him for all the things that he has already done. So every time we pray, we thank him for all the things that he has already done. The Lord commands us to always pray and not to faint. You know, pray without ceasing. Pray at all times. You know, Jesus said, you know, how do we pray without ceasing? 1 Thessalonians 5 and 16. How do we do that? Well, let me read it from 16 to 18. It says, rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. The praying without ceasing must be mingled with thanksgiving. That's what Paul was writing to Timothy about. It must always be mingled with thanksgiving. You got to thank the Lord for the things that he has already done, even as we are praying for other things. This is, I'm switching the gears now, and even talking of your personal needs now. The personal needs that we pray to God about. After you've poured out your heart to the Lord, you must close that with thanksgiving. And if you, a better way is actually to lead off with thanksgiving. Lead off with praising him, telling him how great he is, reminding him of, you know, all the things that he has done in the past. And when you pray, be sure to thank him, you know, for all of his goodness. When you thank him like that, then there will be a peace in your heart that passes understanding. And no matter what you are going through, that peace will be with you. Glory to God. The peace of God that passes understanding. Let's read how the psalmist talk about giving thanks to the Lord. Psalm 136. Let's read the first three verses. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks unto the God of gods, for his mercy endureth forever. I love this psalm because he punctuates everything with his mercy enduring forever. But these first three verses talk about giving thanks. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord of lords, for his mercy endureth forever. I mean, just give thanks to the Lord. Give thanks. And he says at the end of that chapter of Psalms, after all of that, he comes back again and says, oh, give thanks, verse 26, to the God of heaven, for his mercy endureth forever. In many places in the book of Psalms, he talks about that. Psalm 107. Psalm 106 verse 1, Psalm 107 verse, you know, 1, they all talk about the same thing, you know, to give thanks. You know, Psalm 106 verse 1 says, praise ye the Lord. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy endureth forever. Same thing that he has been saying in the other place. Psalm 107 verse 1, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy endureth forever. And he just goes on and on and on and says, Psalm 118 verse 1. I mean, we must give thanks unto the Lord because he is good and his mercy endureth forever. So our prayers must always, you know, be accompanied by thanksgiving. Psalm 118 verses 1 to 3. He said, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, because his mercy endureth forever. Let Israel now say that his mercy endureth forever. Let the house of Aaron now say that his mercy endureth forever. Let them that fear the Lord now say, is that you? That his mercy endureth forever. You know, I called upon the Lord in my distress, and he brought me out into a large place and all these things. But remember, you know, to give him thanks. Give him thanks for what he has already done. So that's going to be the pattern of our prayer today. I've mentioned all the things that we're going to pray about. This is a call to prayer. But I'm also, you know, letting us know how to frame our prayer. Psalm 30 and verse 4 says, sing unto the Lord, O ye his saints, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. Giving thanks is so important. We must always remember to bring that into the prayer. Don't be in a hurry. Give him thanks. When you give thanks with your prayer, it's a whole lot more powerful than without it. So give thanks unto the Lord. Psalm 97 and verse 12. Rejoice in the Lord, ye righteous, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. That's the same thing that he just said. You know, so even in the New Testament, we've seen where we are commanded to give thanks. Give thanks. We've read about it already in Ephesians, I mean, in uh, Philippians chapter 4. You know, we can read about it here also in Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 20 says, give thanks always, all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So giving thanks, so important in everything, in every aspect of our prayer. Also Colossians 3, you know, and 17. And whatsoever ye do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. So ladies and gentlemen, men and brethren, that's our admonition for today. It's a call to prayer. We are going to pray before we pray for ourselves. You know, we do that all the time. Let's just take time to pray for the church and the body of Christ. Let's take time. Because look, we need a true cleansing. We need real power. We need real revival. How many of you, the prophet said, saw this house in his former glory? And what does it look like in your eyes now? Does it look like the same power and the glory that you've seen in the sanctuary before? I mean, where is all that power that you saw once? And but the Lord promised that he's going to do a new thing. He's going to restore. The glory of the latter house will be greater, he said. And in this place will I give peace, saith the Lord. But we got to pray for it. It's not just going to happen just because the Lord said it. Just because God said something doesn't mean you're going to get it. You got to pray it through. Elijah, God already told him that the rain is coming. And he said to Ahab, get thee up and eat, go and eat and drink. For I hear the sound of an abundance of rain. Well, he knew the rain was coming. He was the one that shut up heaven anyway. And now he knows that the rain is coming. So he already got it. He knew it. But did he go and eat and drink like Ahab? No. When he sent Ahab away to go and eat and drink, he went up to the mount to pray. And he put his head down between his knees. And he began to pray, agonizing prayer. You can read all about it in James chapter 5. He began to pray honestly and fervently. You know, even though he already knew the promise, but you got to pray. You got to pray it down. You know, you can't just be there. And he prayed and prayed, send his servant, go check it out. Do you see anything? The man said, no, I see nothing. He prayed some more, put his face down between his knees. I mean, that's like some prayer, folks. And he prayed some more. Go check it out. You know, the man said, I see nothing. And he prayed some more. And he prayed some more. And he prayed some more. 7 times he prayed some more. Some real agonizing prayer. This was something that already was spoken and promised to come. You know, but yet he had to pray it through until finally a little cloud in the sky, like the size of a man's hand. And Elijah said, that's it. That's it. That's it. Glory to God. You know, so we got to pray through on the promises of God. Hallelujah. So here we are. Let us pray. And if you are in the room with us, come and pray with us. Prophetess Kenya, glory to God. Sorry, while I was speaking, I didn't look down to see the hand raising, but I see your hands there. Come on up to the stage. And anybody else that want to come to the stage, come to the stage and come and join us in prayer. You know, I'm calling, well, not me. The Lord is calling for prayer warriors, not just in the room today, but our life of prayer warriors. Ye that make mention of the Lord. This was our theme scripture today. Isaiah 62 verses 6 and 7. Give the Lord no rest till he establish Jerusalem. This wasn't personal prayer. Till he establish the glory that he has promised for the church at the end of the age. We got to do it, you know. And then, you know, on the other hand, you pray for yourself too. Pray for your children, pray for your spouse, pray for all of this. We can do all that stuff. But when you do all that other stuff, let it not just be about, Father, give me this, Father, give me that, Father, give me this, Father, give me. He has already given you all these things. You know, praise God. You need to pray more for your spirit to be in alignment with his word. You know, and then you can receive these things. God doesn't want to just give you this, give you that, give you that. He already given you that. He wants you to come into his nature and his likeness so that you can release those things yourself. He already given you that. That's why he told Adam. That's what he said about Adam and, you know, the man in the beginning. Let them come into our nature. You know, our likeness. And then they can do these things. They can do whatever they want. They will have dominion once they are like us. When they have the, when you are in the image and likeness of God, then you can do whatever. You know, God will give you true dominion, but it will never happen, folks, until we come into the full character of the Christ. God is not going to give dominion to that kind of person that doesn't know the mind of God. It's not going to happen. So the prayer that we should be praying is a New Testament prayer. That the eyes of my understanding should be enlightened. That I may know what is couched, you know, in the mind of God. That my ears should be attuned to the Spirit. My eyes should be anointed with eyes of that I may see. Make my heart, Lord, like the heart of God. I don't think you can handle that, Holy Spirit said. You can't handle that. You cannot. If God shows you a piece of his heart, you can't handle it. His heart is bleeding, folks. Heart is bleeding because of all the impurities and all the nonsense that's going on in the house of God. And so I'm calling prayer warriors today to pray. God bless you. Thank you for being on stage, Sister Titi Layo and Prophetess Kenya. We are going to, I'm going to let you give your reaction, you know, to my lesson today, the message, before we pray. And then we are going to pray. And as we are about to pray, if more of you want to come to the platform, feel free to join us. This is God's house. The Bible said, Jesus said it himself, my house shall be the house of prayer. You know, it's not what people think in these platforms. They are the house of prayer. So you come. We teach the word of God, but we also invite people to come and pray. So come and pray with us. Sister Titi Layo, God bless you. Thank you for being here with us. I'll yield the mic to you now to speak. And then after that, I'll go to Prophetess Kenya. God bless you.
Amen, sir. Amen, sir. Thank you so very much, sir. That is an amazing teaching. You are really, really on point. The Spirit of God is really at work in this place. We thank God for that. So I really thank God. This is the meat due in season indeed that you have served this morning by the grace of God. We really appreciate the grace of God upon you, sir. Thank you so very much. A whole lot of things came home to me when you were ministering, but I will come to the one or two ones that really key in. Yeah, indeed, this is the time we need to ask for the prayer of forgiveness, especially with the church, knowing fully well that our time as Gentile church is actually rounding up. In fact, I can use the word, we're actually in a borrowed time. Because if we look at what is happening in Israel now and the surrounding, we will know or be sure that the prophecy is about to be fulfilled. The Lord is about to return to his own people. And then rounding up with us and returning to his own people as he has promised them. So we Gentiles, we need to pray more like the prayer of Daniel that we said we have all sinned. There are so many things we were supposed to be praying about before, though, that we didn't do. And so we are beginning to see the repercussion of it that is happening globally. However, this is the time that the Lord is stirring all of us up, and that's one thing I believe that God is doing in this platform to stir us up, to kindle our light. It's a light that is the one that's lighting our candle like menorah. It's lighting our candle. It's opening our eyes to know of the time we are living in and to pray more. Indeed, another thing you said that came to mind again that really resonates with me is the fact that God won't do anything unless we pray. So he asks us to ask, and he expects us to call upon him. And when we call, he will do it. And that's why God is raising this platform and many other ones as well to ignite our light, waking us up from our deep slumber into this career, the global call of prayer. In the name of Jesus. And another thing again that you said, that praises, we give praises to God for the things we are waiting for. So when we pray about something, what we then need to follow it up will be to continue to praise him, that God, I praise you because you have done on. And on this note, I want to give thanks to the Almighty God for my life. For about 55 years ago today, the Lord brought me to this planet Earth. And I'm giving him all the glory and praise and thanks for his keeping power over my life, his preservative power, his provisional power. He's got so many powers that I know. His salvation power, his deliverance power over my life, his blessing power, his marital power, you know what I mean? His power that keeps the children, the grandchildren alive. I really want to thank him for preserving me to be one of the people alive today. I want to give him glory, and I want the saints of God on this platform to join me to thank God for my fifth birthday today and to appreciate God for all the November borns as well. I'm not praying for only myself. I'm giving thanks on behalf of all of us that are born in November. And I really want to thank you, sir, for this opportunity you gave me. I'm not taking it for lightly, and I'm not taking it for granted. I thank you for the privilege, for the honor, for everything. And I thank you for what it is that you represent, what it is that you are doing, and what God is doing through you, sir. And Ma as well. Thank God for Mommy as well. I spoke with her recently. Apparently, I didn't know that I've been to your house, and I came to Phoenix sometimes in 2016. I just recall, and I thank God for all the privileges of being connecting to with you, sir. Thank you so very much, and I'm going to use my mic once we are about to pray again. Thank you so much, sir. Cheers, cheers, cheers. Over to you, sir.
Amen, amen, amen. Happy, happy, happy birthday. Wow. So, you know, what a way to, you know, spend your birthday in the presence of God, you know, to, for prayer. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, my sister. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Many blessings be granted you all the prosperity and long life to you, we pray. Happy birthday Amen. To you. God bless you. Look, enjoy your day. You know, the Lord wants to give you a special. The Lord wants to give you a special gift today too.
Hallelujah.
So, that's exactly right. You know, listen. It's a great day. It's a great day to rejoice before the Lord. And thank you for coming here to share with us and letting us know it's your birthday. And I pray that this, your new year, will bring you the greatest fulfillment yet in all your life. There's a lot of things God has done for you, even spiritually. But this new year that you are entering into, my goodness, did you say 5-5? Is that what you said?
5-5, sir. 55 years today, sir.
Yeah, 5-5 is double the number of grace. Oh, my goodness. And God, may the grace of God grow in his grace and grow in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And he will do for you marvelous things, even more so than you have experienced before. The Lord is good. He has greatness in store. You are standing on the edge of tomorrow. Glory to God. Today is a great day, but tomorrow, you are right now here. You can't do anything about the past. It's gone.
That's right. So,
there's a lot of things that we are thankful for in our past, but whether good or bad, they are gone. That's it. You know, but today, hallelujah, we are standing on the edge of tomorrow. We're standing right here. And your tomorrow, and may your tomorrow years be even more blessed than your yesteryears. In the name of Jesus, God bless you, Sister Titilayo. God bless. What did you come to do in Phoenix when you came to our house?
I came to Sister Buki. She has been my old time sister, blessed sister, friend, and you know, colleague and all that. So I came to our house. And one of the Balogos had a baby, and they were in your house.
Oh, so really?
She brought me 2016 when Tabuki's birth, mommy's birthday was happening. So I came from UK to celebrate with her, and then we then came to your house to say hello to you, the Balogos who had the baby. You know what I mean? So I saw mommy, but you were busy in the upstairs, so you couldn't come down, but I saw mommy. Ask mommy. Mommy told me. Mommy remember me.
Oh, wow. Wow. Amazing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, my husband, you know, my husband is here to say hello to you as well, sir.
Thank you, sir.
All right. What's your husband's name?
Introduce yourself to Sydney. Sydney, I'm a pastor here in Liverpool.
Okay, God
bless. I'm a pastor here in Liverpool.
Did you say Sydney?
Yeah, Monica. No, that's Monica. Okay. Sydney, I said no.
Okay, God bless you. Thank you so much for being here. Listen,
I've seen you in Lagos when you came to very well. In Lagos, Nigeria, when you came to minister at Old Yaba Road, one of the programs here.
Okay. Well, praise the Lord.
That was way back in the, I think it is the 90s or so.
Yeah, in the,
I don't know if
the early 90s.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much. God bless you. I appreciate you. Thank you for being here. You can join us from time to time too. Your wife can join us. Fellowship with us. Add value to the room. You know, and all that. You know, so thank you so much for being here. Yeah, God bless you. Thank you. Thank you very much. Happy birthday again. Praise God. Right.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, Daddy. Yeah. Oh, okay, I use my mic now.
Yeah. You're welcome. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
All right. Praise God. You may mute your mic now. I'm going to go to Prophetess. Prophetess Kenya, good to see you. Praise God. Welcome to the room. We're glad to have you. What did the Lord put in your mind to share with the house, you know, on today? Are you there, Ms. Kenya? I'm not sure what's going on. I thought she came up to share, but I'm not, you know. Prophetess Kenya, are you there? I'm not hearing. Your mic is still low.
Hi, sir. Yeah, I'm sorry. I am. I apologize. I'm outside. Well, at the shopping center. Yeah. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we hear you. Are you able to speak?
No, sir. I don't have anything to say. I did want to say, you know, that I heard the voice of God wake me up early this morning at about 3 a.m., you know, concerning prayer. And, you know, and I looked here on Clubhouse and I, you know, heard you speaking. And, you know, and God is great. I think sometimes, you know, I wouldn't say I get away from prayer, but I, you know, when overwhelmed or when I have a lot going on, things like that, I meditate upon things, you know, that I should be praying about. And so, yeah, I thank God for the word. This morning, I thank God for the prayer this morning. God is an awesome God, and He is worthy of the praise. And I do understand that we, you know, if the Lord is telling us, give Him no rest, you know, He'll receive all of our prayers and petitions. And so I am just really grateful for the word and prayer this morning.
Amen. Well, thank you so much for sharing. I know it sounds like you're in a very noisy background there.
yes, sir. Out at Walmart early this morning.
Okay. Well,
yeah.
Thank you for coming to the room and thank you for sharing. Listen, everyone, you know, let me acknowledge the people that are in the room. Mr. VL, I see you. God bless you. Welcome. Good to have you. Yeah, good to have you. Welcome. Feel free to come to the stage and share with us. We've been talking about, you know, prayer, fire, intercessions, and, you know, supplications and thanksgiving and all these things, and particularly praying for the church. you know, and the body of Christ. And we're praying for the true revival. AJ, thank you for being here. I see that you've got pray also in your avatar there. That's good. Shara, thank you for being here. Sam, my goodness, all of you who have joined us, thank you, Yinka, for being here. Adewoye, Michelle, Pearl, Grace, Kolapo, Mama T, God bless you. Thank you for being here. And of course, my lovely wife, Lady Evan, thank you for being here. We've been talking today about prayer for the body of Christ to get the true revival that God promised. Even though God promised something, doesn't mean we're just going to get it. We got to pray for it. We got to pray through it to get it down to us. And God said it is time to thoroughly purge his floor, you know, and get God's people some real shepherds and some real pastors after his own heart. Get rid of all the lying and divination and those who speak falsehood out of their own hearts. Enough already. You know, let's get some real power of God, some real truth. Let the light shine again. But this revival that God has promised is being obstructed by all the clogging that is in the pipe. The pipe cannot flow through because it's too much clogged. The plumbing is clogged with calcium deposits. The water hose is kinked up and the power of God cannot flow. We got to cleanse all these things out. Prayer, consecration prayer like this, sanctify a fast, call a solemn assembly, let the elders, the ministers, the ladies, the men, the young men, everything. Let begin to pray for God to spare his inheritance. Have mercy upon what, you know, he calls his own people. And if my people shall humble themselves and pray, the Lord said, I will hear, you know, from heaven and I will heal their land. We need some healing. You know, we also talked about the fiery eyes of the Lord. You know, when people say God is a God of mercy, he's a God of peace. He is all those things, but he's also a consuming fire, according to Hebrews 12 and 29. And if you've never heard Christ or you've never seen, you know, Jesus angry, go read the Gospels where he took the whip, turned their things upside down, whipped all of them out of that place. You know, go read Revelation chapter 2 where it talks about, you know, the false lying spirit of Jezebel, how I will come against her. You know, go read the places where it said, I will fight with them with the sword of my mouth. I will cast her into a bed of affliction. I will kill her children with death. I mean, you talk about, you know, fiery eyes. You know, he's not messing around. You know, so we are calling people to repentance. We don't want, you know, anybody to be, you run up against the Lion of Judah. He'll chew you up. You know, he does. He's not messing around. You know, but we pray that God will have mercy upon the people. But it is time that God, that Jesus said, my fan is in my hand and I will thoroughly purge my floor. He must purge his floor. We got to get a real fire, God. And we called about how to really pray, to pray for real revival. We, the intercessors, the prayer warriors, we must align ourselves with the sin of the people, you know, and we can't be holier than thou. It's not going to work. We got to align ourselves with, we read out the story of Daniel, how he aligned himself with the sin of the land. We read the story of Jesus himself, how he became sin for everybody, you know, in order to get God's forgiveness upon all of us, you know, and we got to do that. We can't point the finger. It's not going to work. Well, let God point the finger. We call it out. We want people to turn away and give their voice to prayer. And the Lord is against it. Say, I'm against the false prophets that they've not gone up into the gaps. They've not stood there in the day of war, you know, but, you know, they had a lying divination against God's people. So we don't want any of that, you know, but we are also calling the people of God, have your eyes wide open. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Don't fall into the ditch because some blind leader is leading you. You know, if you are not blind, you will not fall into a ditch with them. It only takes the two of them to be blind to fall into the ditch. So that's been our topic today. And we're going to seriously go into prayer after I talk. Let my wife have the mic. We will be going into prayer. Honey, you back?
Yes, yes, I'm here. Amen. Hallelujah.
You may give your reaction to the message, and then after that, we're going to go into prayers.
Yes, yes. Indeed, God is looking for prayer warriors to stand in the gap. He said, if I can just find one person to stand in the gap, that I may not destroy the land. You know, and our responsibility to say, find me, Lord. This is me. I surrender. I commit myself to prayer, to stand in the gap for the people, to stand in the gap. So let us pray this morning as we lift up our voices and pray unto the Most High God and stand in the gap. He said, if I can just find one person faithful, you know, to stand in the gap, like Moses stood in the gap for the people, you know, the God will have destroyed the people of Israel. But he said, no, Lord, no, please. And he convinced the Lord not to do it. Let us begin to pray and stand in the gap for the people, and stand in the gap for our children, stand in the gap for the nation, stand in the gap that the Lord will see us standing in the gap, and that his anger, Lord, will be relinquished. Let us begin to pray. Father, we just thank you for this time of calling for prayer. You are looking for prayer warriors, those that will stand in the gap. Lord, he said, can I just find just one person to stand in the gap? Lord, we pray, Lord, that you find us, oh Lord, so doing, that we may pray and stand in the gap for the sins of the people, that we may stand in the gap for our children, stand in the gap for our grandchildren. Lord, that you be merciful unto them, oh Lord. Father, that by your grace, Lord, that they might repent. We pray, oh Lord, in the name of Jesus, Lord, that you will stand in the gap. Lord, as we stand in the gap, hear us, O Lord.
In the name,
let us not be found worthy in your presence. Let our voices be acceptable before you. Let our voice, Lord, our prayer and our supplication be acceptable before you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to stand in the gap. Thank you for the opportunity to call you Abba, Father. Lord, we call you Abba because you know you are indeed our Father, and you hear us always. You say, the people that are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray. Then will I hear from heaven and heal the land. Father, Lord, we pray, Lord, that you find us worthy, Lord. Lord, that we'll be able, Lord, to humble ourselves in prayer and supplication before the Almighty God. Lord, that you hear and heal the land. Lord, that you hear and heal the church. Lord, that the condemnation will not start in the house of the Lord. Father, we pray, Lord, that the people of the church will begin to repent, Lord, and align themselves, Lord, with the will of God, with the word of God in their hearts, O Lord. That we may align ourselves, O Lord, to do your will. That we will show example of the believer in words, in action, in everything that we do. Lord, that you may find us worthy, Lord. Lord, to be able to stand in that gap for the people of God. Father, we stand for the church. We stand, Lord, for the families. We stand for the children. We stand for the father, the mother. We stand this morning, Lord, that peradventure, Lord, you will have mercy. Lord, that you please, oh Lord, that you may not consume and destroy the land in the name of Jesus. We ask, Lord, and stay your hands, O Lord, that we may stay your hands from destroying the land, from consuming the people in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, because we appeal, Lord, to your loving kindness and your tender mercies, because you are, Lord, you do not anger easily, Lord, but we pray that your anger will be eased this morning upon the people. In the name of Jesus, we thank you and we bless your holy name this morning. In Jesus' mighty name, I pray. Amen. Amen.
Amen. And let us thank him because he's a merciful God. Let us rend our hearts before him today. And let us, you know, ask that his fierce anger, you know, you talk about eyes on fire. His feet like burning brass, you know, his voice speaking like thunders, you know, say, I'll cast her into a bed of affliction. I'll kill her children with death. You think he's messing around? No, he's not. He said, let the inkhorn rider, let him mark the heads of those that are signed for the abomination that's done in the land. Let them others go behind him, and let it start in my sanctuary. So we got to pray, you know, that God will have mercy. You know, we don't want anybody to go up against, you know, this wrath and fury of God, you know, but, you know, people must repent everywhere. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we stand, oh God, to acknowledge our sin this day, because you are a righteous God. Righteousness belong to our God, and confusion of faces belong to us in the church, because we have not followed your ways. We have followed the golden calf, and we have followed all these other things. You know, we've heaped to ourselves, you know, teach us, because we have itching ears. We have not stayed with the voice of the Lord, and we've done all these evil. And so all of these have come upon us, and the corn is vanquished. You know, everything languishes. The real revival and the real power of God is missing from our midst. And Lord, so we pray today, Lord, forgive in the name of the Lord Jesus, and cleanse, O God. Let there be a cleansing beginning from our hearts in the name of the Lord Jesus. I come against the spirit of idolatry. Glory to God. You know, I call it out even now. You know, idolatry is when, you know, we put somebody in the place of God, or anything in the place of God. When we think of somebody more highly than they ought to be, and when even they themselves think of themselves more highly than they ought to be, all of that is an abomination. And all the things that are so highly esteemed among men, Jesus said in Luke 16 and 15, these things are an abomination to God. So, Father, we want to come down even now and cast down our crowns. Even as the 24 elders, they cast down their crowns before you. The things that they thought they had accomplished, the things that they thought, any accolades they had, they cast it down. Because there is nothing, you know, before you that is of any value except the Spirit of God is in it. And so, Lord, we thank you today. We cast down everything and every imagination that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. We cast it down. All the accolades and the titles and achievements and the attributions of men, we cast them down today in the name of Jesus. And let every heart be humble before him. For he is the one that can look to everyone that is proud and bring them down. Glory to God. He can do it too. Lord, we pray for your mercy in the name of the Lord Jesus. But we are asking, Lord, for a cleansing. You said, my fan is in my hand, and I will thoroughly purge and cleanse my floor, saith the Lord. So, Father, we pray for that cleansing. We pray for cleansing. We need a cleansing. We need a purging. It's a purge out the old leaven. We need a purging, Lord. We need the clogs in the hose to be cleaned out. We need the kinks to be straightened out so that the real flow of the Spirit may come through. Father, in the name of Jesus, we're praying, Lord. You said, I will send you pastors after my own heart, shepherds, you know, that are willing to lay down their lives for the flock, not to make merchandise of them. Father, we pray, Lord, that you will send even into the house of God, you know, the people that have that true heart of God, that will not leave the people wounded like that. So, Lord, we pray, oh God, in the name of Jesus, a true revival, a heart of repentance. Lord, we thank you. There is a call from your heart even now that God has winked at the times of ignorance, but now he commands everybody everywhere to repent. And we pray in the name of Jesus for true repentance. And if they will not repent, then it is time that they must be moved aside. Said, I will remove them from the midst of my people. They shall not be written in my book, because they have spoken lying divinations, and I have not sent them, saith the Lord. Lord, I pray for mercy and I pray for grace. I pray that everyone would take heed. He that heareth or hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit of God is speaking to the churches. And Lord, we thank you because you have given us an understanding to know the times that we are living in. That times where the Spirit of God has already spoken expressly that in these last days there will be seducing spirits and seducers, evil men who wax worse and worse, seducing and being seduced. But Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus that your children will not be seduced. Your children will not be deceived. Because you said there will be a strong delusion that if it were possible, would deceive the very elect. And it looks so, these things look so close to the real thing at times. You said it yourself, let them both grow together until harvest time. We pray for the spirit of discernment, a designing heart in the minds of your people to be having their senses exercised to know good and evil. All of us in the name of the Lord Jesus. And Father, you said, they that are teachers, they will receive the more condemnation. So Lord, those of us whom you said, who is then is that good and faithful servant whom his Lord has appointed to give meat to his house in season? Is he going to be a wise servant or is he going to be a wicked servant? Blessed is that servant who the Lord says is wise when the Lord shall find him so doing, dishing out the real meat to the people of God. Verily I say unto you, you said, Lord, that the Lord will make him ruler over many of his goods. But if that servant shall be wicked in his heart and begin to say that the Lord delayeth his coming, begin to smite and oppress his fellow brethren, and begin to seduce them, begin to make merchandise of them, begin to deceive them, he said, the Lord will come in a day when that wicked servant looketh not for him, cut him asunder, and appoint his portion with the hypocrites. This is your word, Lord. We pray that those of us who are in position to share your word, we will humble our hearts, as it is written. What then doth God require of thee, O man, but that you should walk humbly before the Lord all the days of your life, and to keep his statutes, and to keep his commandments. Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus. I pray like Ezra said in Ezra 7 and 10, folks. Ezra said, the Bible said concerning Ezra, that Ezra proposed in his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it, and then to teach in Israel statutes and judgments. So, Lord, I pray that, first of all, those of us who are teachers of the word, we should also do the same so that we will not be the least in the kingdom. And we pray that God will raise up true teachers. There are wonderful people on this app that are really speaking the true word of God. But then just as many, and perhaps even more, there are those who are deceivers. And we pray, Lord Jesus, that all this mixture, you said the house of God, the kingdom of God is like leaven, which a woman took and just mixed it up in there until everything was mixed up. We pray, Lord, for this mixing. There must be a purging. You say we should purge out the old leaven and be unleavened and be a new lump. Lord, we pray in the name of Jesus that we'll be a new lump. We thank you for the vision you gave to Jeremiah that went out of the house of the potter. And when the pottery that he made was marred and messed up in his hand, he made it again into a new lump. Father, that you will make again a new lump and purge out the old leaven in the name of Jesus. We're looking for real revival. We need this power of God that you promised to come and to sweep our hearts in the name of Jesus. Let there be fire in our hearts again. I come against the spirit of lukewarmness. Jesus said, look, you either be hot or you are cold. But this lukewarm stuff, I'm going to spew it out of my mouth. Lord, I pray that against the spirit of lukewarmness. I also pray against the spirit of it doesn't matter. Lord, it doesn't matter is a little leaven that's mixed up, that is spoiling the whole thing. All the little foxes that are spoiling the vine, the unforgiveness, the bitterness, the backbiting and so forth that's going on all over the place. Father, we come against it and we repent of it. In the name of Jesus, let there be the spirit of discretion upon the people to know when to speak and to know when to be silent. And Father, let there be a spirit of prayer and awakening to prayer. Awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus that the light of God, you know, that we have received, we will cause it to shine in us and through us in the name of Jesus. He that followeth after me shall not walk in darkness, but he shall have the light of life. I pray even for our own personal needs, even as we have stood before you today to share your word. Teach us to pray the heart of God and not to be too focused on, Father, give me this, Father, give me that, Father, give me the other, but to pray for thy kingdom to come and that thy will be done in earth, even as it is in heaven. And you said all that we, when we seek your kingdom first, where we seek your righteousness first, that all these hidden desires, which the hidden are seeking after every day, all of these things our Father already knows we have need of, and he will add them unto us. Father, we thank you. Give us that faith to understand that you know we have all these needs and that you will add them unto us. And we pray that as we go through, that when we come to you with supplication, when we come to you without anxiety, and we add our thanksgiving unto it, even as we have said in this room today, that you give us peace through this situation. I pray that there will be peace in every heart today. For the walk of righteousness shall be peace. The effect of righteousness shall be tranquility. Let there be peace in your heart, even as you go through. Hallelujah. As you pray with confidence, giving thanks to God for what he has already done and praising him for what is yet to come, we thank the Lord that he will give you peace. Peace by all means that passes understanding, in the name of Jesus. Father, may we be the light, even in our little corner, the salt of the earth. May we be that light to shine that others may see and give glory to our Father that is in heaven. Thank you, Lord, for such a time as this. In the name of Jesus. Amen and amen and amen. Well, glory to God, everybody. Thank you for joining us today. Woman of God, VL, I see you. Woman of God, Bridget, I see you. Come to the stage and share or pray over the room if you want to. You know, that's good too. You know, I know you have the Spirit of God, even if you didn't hear the whole message. You knew what we are talking about in your spirit. And we need prayer. We're calling for prayer. Prayer over the body of Christ. You know, prayer, you know, for true revival. I mean, you know, we're tired of this song and dance just going around the same thing. We need the real power of God, as we have seen in the past. Bible says, how many of you were here that saw this house in the former glory? Well, I, by the grace of God, I saw the house in the former glory. You know, but he said, look, what I will do now will surpass even that. And I will, in this place, will I give peace, saith the Lord. We're praying for true revival. We're always going to have this stuff going on, because he said, let them both grow together. But, you know, we need the real power of God to bring a shift, to bring a sifting, to bring a cleansing, so that we can have a true demonstration of the power of God and the clear voice of God to God's people. And as we approach the coming of the Lord, showing, the Bible said, I will shake all things again, one more time, a showing of the mighty demonstration of the power of God. So come on, Sister VL, come to the stage. I see your hand. Come on to the stage and join us. Sister Bridget, if you want to do that too, that's great. Come to the stage and join us. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Let's pray together. We all need this prayer. We are in this thing together, you know, and, you know, the thing that we have been waiting for that is obstructed by all the kinks and all the clogging, God must cleanse it out of there and bring to real power of God. We need to have some real moving of God. And we got to see God in his power again. Everywhere we go, we got to see that true power one last time. One last demonstration of God's great glory before he comes for the elect. We got to have it. We got to see it. And we got to pray it through. Thank you for joining, Sister VL. Good to see you, man of God. You got the mic. Go ahead.
Kingdom greetings to you. Can y'all hear me? Hopefully you can hear me. I'm on a different phone. But kingdom greetings to each and every one of you.
We hear you loud and clear.
Awesome. Well, I give honor to you, man of God, and your lovely wife. I thank God for each and every person in this room, on the stage, as well as below. What an honor and a privilege it is to be in an atmosphere where the true, unadulterated word of God is going forth. It blesses me. It strengthens me. I love it. It encourages me to keep on keeping on. I just thank God for everything that I heard you say from the time I entered the room, but it's always a blessing when I enter your room. And so I love the way you were talking about bringing that balance to God's word, because that's something that, man of God, I know that's so needed, that is forsaking. There's no way that we can preach and teach about the love of God without understanding that he's also a God that of judgment. He's also a God that has to hold his people accountable. He's the God is Jehovah, a Yehovah Naka. He's the God that smites. He's the God that he's so holy, he must deal with all ungodliness. And so because we receive his love, it doesn't give us a ticket to do whatever we desire to do. So I thank God for the way you are speaking the truth and the wholeness of the truth of his word, letting it be known that there is accountability. There is a responsibility that the body of Christ have. And if we're going to see the change, if we are going to experience what we are proclaiming, then it must be said among the body of Christ. It must be echoed that he is a God of holiness. And so otherwise, we're going to continue to bathe in the grace messages and bathe in the love messages, but then feel as though we can cover it up, you know, and it just doesn't work. And so, it's an honor. Literally, it is an honor to be in this room. I love the way, men of God, and I thank God for you talking about the alignment. There must be an alignment. We are not just saved. Oh my goodness, I was on fire. I said, Lord, thank you. As soon as I came out of prayer and then came into this room, I thought I logged out last night, and then I didn't. And it notified me that you were talking. And I said, oh my goodness, I need to go in here and see. And I'm so honored. I'm so grateful that I did not log out. And I just want to tell you, thank you. That alignment you were talking about is so necessary, because it's not just about us serving him and talking about him on Sundays or Saturdays or whatever day that we select, but it's about that alignment, body, soul, and spirit. And how else can we get that alignment except our soul is purged, except we bring it subject to the government of God? And so I'm just so honored, man of God, to be in this room. I'm just honored to partake of what God is flowing from your sister. You know, truly out of your belly is flowing rivers of living water. And I'm just honored to hear again and partake in what you're saying. You and your wife was talking about standing in the gap, and that blesses me, because we have to come to that place where we understand that it's not about us. We know that the Bible says in Hebrews that the things of old is a metaphor of the things to come. And so in the Old Testament, when they had on the attire that God designed for himself, it had purpose. So we know when they had on the breastplate that they would carry, that had the 12 stones, it represented the whole 12 tribes. And so because that represent the whole, it represents it's the whole body of Christ. So how is it that we go to God selfishly? That cannot be. It must, when we go into prayer, we are taking the whole body of Christ. It's not about us.
But when we seek ye first the kingdom of God, all the other things gonna be added. And us seeking the kingdom of God and his righteousness, which is Yeshua, Jesus Christ, then all the other things gonna be added. So we got to come and stand in the gap. That's why we are that royal priesthood. That's why we are that holy nation. We stand in the stead of our Savior and we begin to cry out. We begin to war. We begin to, you know, begin to labor on behalf of the body of Christ. You know, that is the place where we receive the burden of the Lord. That is the place. Not, he said, cast your cares upon me, you know, for I care for you. My burden is easy and my yoke is light. We can't get to the next place, the next dimension, the next level, because we are still carrying our burdens. He said, but cast your burden, because there's a burden of me that you need to receive. And once you receive that burden, the world make it seem, and the religious people makes it seem like that burden is heavy, but actually it's not heavy because I carry it for you. I just want you to yield and submit. I will be there with you to help carry my burden. But in order to receive a burden of the Lord, we got to be in prayer. We got to realize it's not about us. We got to understand that he requires holiness and righteousness. We got to uphold the full word. He didn't come to destroy the Old Testament, but Jesus, Yeshua, came to fulfill it. And so rooms like this, oh my God, rooms like this is full of life. We can't get caught up in how many people. Rooms like this is birth and life. It is fire. It is the water, or it is everything. And I'm talking about it's all flowing. And I'm so honored to be in here because this blesses me so much. Oh, this encourages me so much because I stand for holiness. I stand for righteousness and I thirst after it. I pant after it day by day. I don't take breaks. I am who I am in Christ. And so I'm so grateful and I'm so honored to be in here, to hear what is being taught, what is being conveyed, what is being released, because that is God saying, come up higher, come up hither, come up on the mountain. Moses, God took him on the mountain, separated from a people in order to download, in order to receive the burden of him. In order for us to receive the burden, we got to come up higher. We got to come up here, higher, where a place where God will take us to receive from him. And once you receive that burden, we got to go and deliver. We got to go and release, because it'll be like fire shut up in our bones. We can't contain it. And so I'm just so grateful again for what God is saying, what God is doing. And it's just so marvelous. I smile, my heart smile, my soul smile. And I just thank God for the, again, everything that was said. I'm talking about everything. Some rooms you go in and it's like, okay, I agree with that. Okay. Well, that, oh, Lord, help them, you know, help them, enlighten them, because they haven't came to that place yet. So Lord, just open up their eyes, God, because I know you're faithful. You know, that's but this room, like literally the fullness of everything I heard was nothing but the Spirit of God, nothing but the flow of the Spirit of God. The Ruach is in this house. The Ruach is in this room. And for that, I thank God. I thank God for keeping you and your wife. I thank God for being y'all safe haven. I thank God for making a way out of no way for y'all. I thank God for empowering y'all and y'all humanity, in y'all divinity. I thank God that no evil shall come nigh y'all dwelling in the name of Jesus. I thank God that every need shall be met in the name of Jesus. I thank God for leading y'all beside the still waters and restoring y'all soul in the name of Jesus. I thank God for giving y'all more revelation and a greater impartation to continue to carry on and be all that God has called you to be. I thank God for using you for his glory and his namesake. I thank God that you're willing to carry on his namesake, that you're willing to carry the cross and follow him. I thank God. I bless the name of the Lord that he is going to bless you in this life and the life to come. I thank God because he's worthy of praise, glory, and honor. And I thank God that everybody in this room, I thank God that he's taking us higher. He's taking us deeper. We go to glory and faith to faith. And I thank God, I bless his holy name that we're going to continue to reach for the high calling in him. We're going to continue to move forward and no longer backwards in the mind mighty name of Jesus, and I bless his holy name, for as we call on his fire of purification to purify us within and without, I thank God every distraction is removed. I thank God that everything that comes to take our focus is consumed by the fire of God. I give him glory. I give him praise that Christ is being formed on the inside of us. And I thank God that we're no longer going to be just children, but we're maturing to sonship in the name of Jesus. I give him glory. I give him praise for divine healing in this room. Wherever we need healing, he is our healer. And I thank him for divine healing mentally, emotionally. I thank God for divine healing, even in our physical health. I thank God for healing, even financially. I thank God for healing spiritually. I thank God that in him, we should have nothing lacking, nothing broken, and nothing missing. I bless his holy name because he alone is worthy. He alone deserved the honor. He alone deserved the praise. And we bring this day subject to the Spirit of the living God. No matter where we go today, no matter where, Lord God, we go, no matter what we do today, but we walk in the spirit of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ, and we bring this day subject to the Spirit of the living God. We decree and declare in the name that is above every name that every foul spirit, every demonic force, and anything that will try to come against us one way, it must flee seven ways in the name of Jesus. We decree and declare the Lordship of Jesus Christ in our homes. We decree the Lordship of Jesus Christ in our atmosphere. No matter where we go today, we are covered and we are governed by the government of heaven, and the kingdom of God is above every other kingdom. So everything must bow to the name of Jesus. We are protected and we are governed by you, O God. And because of that, God, we say thank you. We bless your holy name. And lastly, O God, before I yield the mic, God, I label this day, God. You said call the those things to be that is not as though they are, God. Lord, I labor this day of favor with you and man, oh God. I labor this day a day of strength, oh God. I labor this day, I labor this day a day of peace, as the man of God already proclaimed, God. Let the peace of you, God, that surpasses all understanding, let it rest, rule, and abide upon us and within us, oh God. Anything on the inside that comes to steal our peace, oh God, we speak shalom to it, God. It must hearken to the word of the Lord. And we thank you, Lord God. We bless your holy name, oh God, for we have peace on the inside. We have peace that will lead us. And that peace is none other than the Spirit of you, God. So, Lord, let us be led by your Spirit. Let us be governed by you, oh God. We honor you and we praise you, oh God, as we labor this day a day of victory. Labor this day, oh God, a day of victory. We are more than conquerors, and we can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens us. To you be the glory, to you be the honor. I release blessings, oh God, because you've given me the power and the authority to do so in Christ Jesus. And Lord, the words that I speak are spirit and life, oh God. And I thank you and I bless your holy name, God, for your order, Lord God, your order, God, in the lives of each and every one of us. It is in the name of Jesus, not in no other name, God. Not in the name of shame, not in the name of guilt, not in the name of anything, but the name of Jesus the Christ, the Son of the living God. Oh God, that we decree these things to be so in Jesus Christ's holy name. Amen.
Wow. Amen and amen. Thank you, Sister VL, for that powerful prayer. And thank you for those words. Thank you for just those admonition, the kind words, that powerful release in that prayer. Thank you so much for coming. Thank you for spending the time and sharing and coming to pray over the room. We receive all the prayers. We receive the declarations for the day. We thank you so much. God bless you. And all of us, we have a responsibility to be that voice. We just have a responsibility. You know, and we must keep, you know, the clarion call. We must keep speaking the truth, you know, speaking the truth, because the word of God is true. You see, the truth that people know is what can set them free. If they don't know it, can set them free. So we got to keep declaring it. We got to do everything we can by the grace of God that he has given us to keep declaring this truth. And we must not be silent. So thank you. I appreciate all that you said. Thank you for those powerful prayers. And we give God all the praise and all the glory. Thank you, woman of God. Yes, Sister Bridget, good to see you. I love you too, and good to have you here with us. Go ahead, Sister Bridget, release your mic and bless the room.
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning, Pastor Yato. Everybody in the room, good morning, Sister VL. Wow, that prayer. I'm so blessed. I'm so blessed to be in the room today. If there's a place that I'll go on a Saturday during the day on this app, is this room. You know, I love the word, and I love where there is purity and there is edification. And like, you know, our sister was praying, and before she was praying, she mentioned about, and even you, Pastor Yato, talking about how there are many, many, you know, places where you can receive the word. But there's also a lot of deception. There's a lot of deception in, quote, within the body. You can go into a ministry room on an app, anywhere, either Clubhouse, Facebook, Instagram, or even, you know, a brick and mortar place, worship, and you will not be fed. You will not be told the truth, because the truth is not what the majority of the people want to hear, including those who claim to love the Father, right? And so I love this space. And I came to the room when Mother Eben was praying. And as she was praying, I was thinking about the words that she was saying. She prayed for repentance and restoration and healing. And I was thinking, you know, when God spoke, saying that if his people who are called by his name shall do, you know, X, Y, Z, repent, turn away from their wicked ways, etc., then he will heal their land. And God is very conditional. I always say this, that God doesn't have favorites, but he does favor people. And recently I was in the room and someone said God has favorites, and it got me thinking, does God have favorites? But I know God does favor people. God is a God of principle, and even the things that are not the things that are intimate, right, things that are not living and breathing and walking, all those things are subject to principles, because he created the world. And everything that we see and we don't see, the worlds that we don't see and all the contents of all creation exist, and they have their being and they function according to principle. You put seed in the ground, if the ground is dry and there's no rain, it doesn't have access to any warmth, it won't grow, right? And so everything is subject to principle, including God's word. The kingdom is ruled by principle. And when I saw the title Prayer, Warriors and Duty, I had to come to the room, because I've over the years, my understanding of prayer, communication with God, intimacy with God, one-on-one with God, understanding how God wants his kingdom governed, I'm growing every day. I'm still learning and I'm still a baby in the Lord, but I'm growing every day. And I'm understanding that there has to be a level of intimacy, and there has to be a level of death to self. That, I mean, it is required. Total giving away of all that is against the mind of Christ, so that we can receive and that we can be in intimate relationship with God, so that we can be effective in the kingdom. Many people in the kingdom are not effective. Many people in the kingdom cannot walk in faith because they are not willing to go all in. They are not willing to lay down, you know, all that they feel. You mentioned idolatry, right, Pastor Yato? Giving the place of God to other things. And I think almost everybody's plagued with this. Derek Prince said that witchcraft is the religion of humanity. And so human beings, we lean towards manipulation, control, wicked behavior, so that we can gain. But we are so not interested in the things that will please the Father's heart. And I want to read a scripture, because we shared it in my room yesterday. John 10, verse 14 and 15. Jesus said, I'm the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. Yesterday when I read this, it was like I was seeing it through fresh eyes. And Jesus is saying that in the same way that the Father knows him and that he knows the Father, that is how he knows his sheep and how his sheep know him. So let me tell you, people of God, you can't fake a Christian, you can't fake relationship with Christ. You can't fake true intimacy. You can't pretend to know Jesus, because Jesus said the very manner which he has intimate knowledge of God the Father, and God the Father has intimate knowledge of him. And in the same book of John, you're going to chapter 10, verse 30, he said, I and my Father are one, right? And in the first verse of John 1, he's saying, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So Jesus says that he and the Father have such intimate knowledge of each other. They are literally one. And we see in the beginning of recorded history, Genesis 1:1, beginning, God made heaven and earth. And he says that God made heaven and earth, right? Singular. But then we go on to see that God said, let us, plural. So that unity is a oneness that is an intimacy that is like it's difficult to explain. And for those who are Bible scholars and, you know, theologians, they'll tell you about the oneness and unity and all that. But Jesus himself said that there is an intimate relationship that he and his Father has. And that relationship mirrors the relationship that he has with the true sheep. So the sheep know God's voice and he knows his sheep. And for such people, he lays down his life. And that shook me a little bit yesterday. Thank God that, you know, he has given us the grace to lay down, and we are still every day dying to self, right? When we're baby Christians, it was difficult because we looked at the world and we looked at the pleasures of the world and we went, can I give up this attitude? Can I give up the boyfriend? Can I give up the girlfriend? Can I give up the idolatry? Can I give up the fashion? Can I be modest? Can I behave in such a way that it will bring me to a place where Christ can really dwell and his Spirit can dwell richly within me, because I'm a living sacrifice. I'm dead to self. But thank God that God gives us the grace to grow and to become that which he has called us to be. But the truth is, people of God, that if we don't know him for ourselves, no amount of teaching, preaching, and I know we all love the prophetic rooms here. I'm a prophet. I've been called into the prophetic. I'm not about prophesying personal prophecies all day long, but I know we all love those rooms, right? I call them show and tell in the kingdom. The show and tell rooms in my language, in Ghanaian language, we say krabeshre, which means tell the people to come and see. Christians love to tell people to come and see rooms all over the place and all those kinds of ministries. It feeds our desire and it feeds our curiosity and it makes us feel good. Let me go and get a word. But no amount of prophetic word. Let me tell you something. In my room, I have a lot of diviners coming in. I see them, witches, wizards. They follow me from Instagram. A lot of people call themselves prophetic because they are diviners. They're sorcerers. And they come in and they sit quiet. And sometimes they'll send me messages in Instagram. Can you please pray for me? Can you ask the source and the light and the universe to give me direction? Right? And so the prophetic, the show and tell Christianity, everybody loves it. Everybody loves a good message. Everybody loves a good, feel good worship experience on a Sunday where you can go, whew, that was amazing. But Jesus says that the sheep know him and he knows the sheep just as the Father knows. We say that our relationship with Christ, the intimate knowledge that we have of him, that is growing every day, can it really mirror the relationship that the Son has with the Father? That is what he's calling us to. Amen. That's what I don't want to preach a message, but I came in and I heard the prayer and I was thinking about our children, right? I have four little ones. And so I'm very preoccupied with the youth and the young people. And I speak to I can be a bit of a nag sometimes with my kids. And I'm always like, you have to listen to what your parents say. You have to listen to the word of God. It has to be your priority. We won't be here forever if you don't do the work, if you don't read your Bible, if you don't follow Christ. When me and dad are not here, you may be led astray. Relationship for you and your God is not based on me and your father being pastors or whatever, ministers. And so God is calling us. And the word is calling because his voice calls. But most of the times we don't hear him on an intimate level because we're truly not sheep, we're goat. Amen. And so if we're going to be prayer warriors, we're going to step up and we're going to take kingdom take territories. A warrior must have strategy. Every warrior must understand what strategy looks like. You must be a deliberate person who prays with knowledge and understanding. You can't do that if you're not listening to the voice of God. And you can't hear his voice if you're not a true sheep. And you can't be a sheep if you're not willing to lay down your life, right? To be part of the fold. And so I just want to say, God is calling us to war. And yes, as the woman of God VL rightly said, you won't find rooms, ministry churches, places where, especially on social media, where the true undiluted word of God is being fed to the people. You won't see hundreds of people. Don't get me wrong. Like I said, I'm all for the prophetic. I'm a prophet. I train people in the prophetic. When you go to rooms or even churches on the ground, if it's prophetic meeting, the room is full. But it sometimes it grieves my heart because I know the people go away from that room haven't received nothing for themselves in their spirit apart from the soul excitement of having had another prophetic word. And so let us draw closer to God. Truly, I mean, what is it that is standing between you and your God? What everybody is guilty of idolatry. Everybody. I want to share something funny, right? Today, this afternoon, I had an experience just before I came to the room, actually, and I laughed at myself and I went, whoa, I'm being a bit extreme here, but here's a lesson learned. I opened my freezer and there was some fish in the freezer at the bottom. I've had it in for 2 months, I'm going to be honest. Little tiny fish that I really like. I've had it in there for a while. And for some reason, I don't really want to, nobody likes it apart from me. But I came out of a long fast season and my taste has changed. There's things I don't want to eat anymore. And I'm looking at the fish and all of a sudden I hear myself saying, why is this thing in the fridge? And I heard myself respond, because you have an emotional attachment. And I started laughing. I said, women were like this. Sometimes you know you have an emotional attachment to even things in your fridge, right? Our mothers do it. Your mum comes around, you're clearing out. She says, oh, put it back. The kids will eat it. And you put it back. Or you go to your mum's house and you're like, mum, I'm clearing out. She says, no, don't touch this. And like, but it's expired. Yeah, we'll use it. Emotional attachment. And I said to myself, this sometimes, on an extreme level, can be a form of idolatry, that people hoard things in their homes. And so we can be plagued with behaviours that, even though we don't think it has anything to do with our relationship with Christ, it can really take us away from the growth that we need to be effective in the kingdom. So it's good to take stock. Look at the idols in your life. You may think you don't have idols, but it may be an attitude that you have, right? You always have to be right all the time. You always have to have the last word. You always have to talk over people to prove that me too, I day. Or you have to, there's a lifestyle that you want to maintain no matter what. I've spoken to so many sisters and counseled a lot of young women who have aspirations. And when they talk, sometimes I literally feel like my gut, you know, I feel like, oh gosh, can you guys just, I want to earn this amount and I'm believing God. And recently I spoke to a sister who said, I've been praying God for so and so amount. I've been fasting. And I thought, but you don't qualify. You don't have the skill set. You don't have the education. And yes, God can do miracles, but you're fasting so that God can give you triple pay for what you don't deserve. Yet you won't even pray for 1 hour when you're called to a prayer meeting. It's always an excuse. And so let us lay down our idols. We can't be effective in the kingdom if we're holding on to things. We have to have our hands empty so that God can fill it with the proper tools so that we can do warfare. And we must have intimate knowledge of Christ. And intimate knowledge of Christ means that we need to be listening to his voice. Amen. I yield my mic.
Wow. 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 I mean, these ladies, they tore up this room today. My goodness. Thank you so much, Sister Bridget. You know, I love you. You just said a whole lot. And it's just amazing. And I am passionate about us hearing the voice of God. I speak about it all the time. You know, and people, I often say people, you know, I know even this last week, almost every room I've had, I will be quoting John 6 and 63. And I'll be saying, look, you got to engage God in the spirit when you are hearing these things, because the flesh profit nothing. You know, the spirit is what gives life. The words that, you know, God speak, they are spirit and life. And engaging in the flesh is why people leave a message or a fellowship or a meeting, like you said, Sister Bridget, and just say, wow, that was a wonderful message. But there's no impact. It does nothing. After that, that's it. You know, and they, because people engage in the flesh, they run, you know, to these places to engage in the flesh. And after that, it's like there is absolutely no impact because they have not engaged God in the spirit. God is a spirit. And we have to engage him in the spirit. We cannot engage God in the flesh. But our flesh loves all these things. You know, we love it. You know, but the flesh actually hates God. And God hates the flesh. You know, and that's why people cannot. Sabrina, you said something. People can't pray for an hour. The reason we can't pray for an hour is because we are in the flesh. You know, the flesh hates God. Hates the presence of God. You know, but we love all the fleshly things that feed the soul. You know, but to feed the spirit, we don't want to pay the price. That's why we can't pray for an hour. You know, if people can watch a movie for 3 hours long and they will remember everything. But you tell them to pray for 15 minutes. No, we will be distracted before that 15 minutes is over. I mean, we can't even pray. You know, people will fall asleep. And even the disciples, the closest disciples of Christ, they fell asleep. And Jesus said, look, can't you even watch with me for an hour? I mean, this thing took Jesus 3 times as long that, you know, he would have done it if they would have just prayed with him. They didn't do it. They were sleeping. You know, so people, our flesh is no good, folks. The flesh wants no part of God. And I often say, you know, when I teach on these subjects, that God invited the people. If you indeed obey my voice, that's the thing that Sister Bridget was talking about. We got to know his voice even to obey it. First, you got to know his voice. If you indeed obey my voice, then you will be unto me a peculiar treasure above all other nations. You'll be a kingdom of priests. And initially, they say, yeah, we will do it. But when they heard that voice the first time, they removed from God in the next chapter. They don't want any part of it. They said, Lord, they said to Moses, we can't do it. We cannot hear God's voice. We will die, you know, if we hear God's voice. And so they didn't want to pay the price. And they said, Moses, you go do it. You go do all the work. You go hear God's voice and you come and tell us, you know. And this is the problem today. We're always looking for a prophetic word here, prophetic word there, prophetic word here. We're not willing to pay the price on our own to hear God's voice ourselves. And what happens, the lesson, what comes out of that is the golden calf at the end of the day. Because after the medium, Moses became a medium. He was a medium. And after the medium was gone away for 40 days, he said, well, we don't know what became of this man. We can't find him. We need another medium, you know, and they're always looking for something else. And, you know, so they wanted the golden calf and he ended up with a real problem for them. It was, and this was the thing, just because they wouldn't pay the price to hear God's voice on their own. They don't want to pay that price. And some of the lessons that I teach, in fact, I think I scheduled a room for this weekend called the Destination the Most Holy Place. This is the place. You know, Xavier was talking about intimacy and you were talking about intimacy as well. This is the place where we got to be. You know, it's all about intimacy. It's one-on-one. It's not about going in and out. And we all fail here. I fail miserably at it too. You know, we experience it sometimes but we're in and out. But the place of constant communion, you know, that's called brighter union with Christ. That is the destination. That is the purpose. That's where we are headed. And that's where we must get to. We got to. That was the place where Christ was. And you mentioned it too. You know, Christ was there, you know, oneness with the Father. He didn't go in and out. You know, he was always there. He said in John 8:29, you know, my Father is always with me. You know, because I do those things that are pleasing in his sight. He wasn't going in and out. He was there the whole time. And it wasn't about, you know, it wasn't about the miracles he did. It wasn't about some greatness. No, it was about he being exactly like the Father. That was what God liked about him. Because when he came out of the water being baptized from John the Baptist, He had not done a single miracle. Not where we know. Maybe he did some things around the house with Mary and Joseph. We don't know. But there was nothing recorded. In fact, he had not started his public ministry. Public ministry started after he left that place, went to be tempted of the devil, and came in the temple and took the book of Isaiah. And he said, this day. So that's the public ministry. But yet, the father said, this is my son, of whom I am well pleased. I mean, so he looked like God. He was already talking like God. He was already thinking like God. And he was in constant union with God. And so God was able to present him to the world and be proud of him. For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given or presented. And the day that God presented and said, this is my son, it wasn't because he had done any miracle. It wasn't because he had laid hands on the sick or deemed anything. It was just because he looked like the Father. He talked like the Father. He was in union with the Father. And the Father was proud of him. And I remember, because I raised some boys and girls too, but I remember when those boys were growing up, and they started to look like me and talk like me and do stuff and say, yeah, that's my boy. so look, what all the things that you ladies have said, so powerful in the room here today. And I just pray that all of us will engage God from time to time in the spirit. Don't engage God in the flesh. 2 Corinthians 5:16 tells us that. Henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Not even Christ. We once knew him after the flesh, but not anymore. we can't do these things in the flesh, folks. This is why we don't make any progress. And the flesh, those are the things that the flesh likes. The flesh likes some smooth talker. The flesh likes somebody who tell us some good things, and so forth. Well, God loves to give us good things too, but, you got to hear, what a God is a two-edged sword. before he cuts the enemy, it'll cut you first. He got to cut inside of you, but it's a peaceful cut, when he does that. It's peaceful. He cut it, but it's peaceful. God will never condemn us, but he will convict us. And when he does, he will convict us of prayerlessness. Kind of what we've been talking about in this room today. We'll convict you of that and all these things. And, we must be ready to pay the price, folks. And we can't, when the disciple, Jesus was even, going to bat for them and telling, even saying, well, they don't need a fast. Well, maybe they don't need a fast, but then the hour came that they couldn't do it. They couldn't do the job. Well, you don't need to fast now. The bridegroom is with you. Days will come when they will do that. Well, okay. They didn't want to pay the price. Well, the time come when there was something they couldn't do. And Jesus said, well, first of all, it was because of your unbelief. But he said, look, there are some kind that will not go out except by prayer and fasting. You guys have not been fasting. So, look, we've got to pay the price. We have to pay the price. And the greatest price that we must pay is everything. I did a room just 3 days ago. I don't know when it was. I said, look, buy the truth and sell it not. Anyone can go listen to the replays. It's under my profile. That's about 3 days ago. What is the price that we're willing to pay to get the truth? And what is the price that we will pay to sell out on the truth? Because the Bible says, don't sell it. Proverbs 23:23. Buy the truth at any cost. But don't sell it, and Jesus told them also in Luke 22, he said, look, I think it's 22 and 36. If he that doesn't have a sword, let him sell his garment and buy a sword. The people thought he was talking about physical swords. And he said, oh, we got two swords. He said, look, that's enough. He wasn't talking about that, because he wanted every single one of them. What price are you willing to pay to get the truth? One woman came, Jesus talked about her from the uttermost parts of the earth. She was called Queen of Sheba. She traveled, I don't know how many thousands of miles she did to get to Solomon to hear his wisdom. She was willing to pay that price. When she got there, she said, wow, half of the things were not even told me. And Jesus said, look, but a greater than Solomon is here, and she's going to rise up and judge you. What is the price that we're willing to pay to hear his voice on our own? This is the thing. And I love the way that Sister Bridget put it, that look, as Christ was known of the Father, and he is known, I mean, they know each other intimately. That's the way, that's the intimate relationship we must have with the Christ. And God gave us the Holy Spirit to bring us into that place. And we must spend time in his presence. It's all about concentrating on him. It's all about, you know, unity with him. It's all about, you know, knowing him, you know, so that we can learn to love him. And we do that in his presence. And we must pay the price. If we don't want to pay the price, then, you know, it's always going to be superficial. We let somebody else pay the price for us. And somebody else tell us what God is saying, which is all good. But what about you, yourself? Why can't we hear from God ourselves? You know, why? I mean, will a father not speak to you? We are not bastards. So God must speak to me myself, you know. And one of the saddest things I've ever read in that Bible, I say it all the time, is when somebody say, I don't want to hear the voice of God. I thought that was probably one of the saddest things I've ever read. Why would you not want to hear the voice of God? I mean, this is the thing. I mean, some people should say, look, I would die to hear his voice. Not that I will die if I hear his voice. It's rather I would die to hear his voice. I want that thing, you know. And that's what Enoch said to Adam. I want whatever it was that you had in that garden. I want it. Adam said, no, son, you can't go in there. It's closed up. You know, say closed. I want that. You know, I want that. And talk about intimacy and oneness and engaging God in the spirit. I tell you, I speak about this all the time when I speak on these subjects. Every single last one of those people that were born, he was number 7. Every one of them before him, Enoch, heard the same stories from Adam that he heard. Because they probably all asked him, hey, what's up with that? Those cherubims over there with the flaming sword, what happened in there? And Adam probably told all of them the same stories. But only one of them engaged in the spirit. The rest of them, he made nothing to them. They go, oh, that's a wonderful story, Grandpa. And they just went their way, you know. But this one man said, wow, you mean you spoke with God? You mean you had power with God like that? I mean, you mean there was something around you that control the animals? I mean, you could do all these things? I want some of that. I say, son, I'm sorry. You can't go in there. It's too late. It's closed. Say, well, I'm going to go in there or I'm going to die trying. And he began to pursue God with his heart. He wanted some of that. And I tell you what, you know, when you begin to pursue after God, he'll draw you in. He'll draw you in. But there is a line that you have to cross. There is a line, you know, that you have to cross. You got to cross that line. You know, God is not just there. You know, he said you will find him when you seek him with all your heart. It's not there for the casual seeker, folks. He's not there. But, you know, when you cross that line, and it took Enoch many years, but finally he figured it out. And when he crossed that line, God began to change him from light to light, from light to light. One day, he was infused with God. You know, God took him. I mean, look, this is it, folks. We must press in to know and to hear his voice on our own. Don't take anybody's word for it. And don't let somebody else have to tell it to you. Get it from God. Direct yourself. A kingdom of priests. That's who we are. Ladies and gentlemen, you know, I acknowledge all of you that are in the room with us. Thank you, Bree. Thank you, Sister Mary. I see you all. Marcel, thank you for being there. Angela and AJ and Sam and Pearl and Nelly and Yinka and Adewoye. You guys have been here. Thank you so much. Michelle, Grace and Kolapo. Thank you, Sister Bridget and Sister Via. It's been a powerful room. You know, and I love it when we get together like that. And I especially thank Sister Via and Sister Bridget for coming up and sharing. You know, my rooms are always open to share. I don't feel that, you know, you want to call it short. preach it. I love to hear it because I believe that, look, you know, line upon line, preset upon preset, here a little, there a little. You know, nobody has it all. Not one person has it all. So, you know, I may give a little bit here and you may come in and give a whole lot more like you ladies did already today and give a whole lot more and power the place with power. And that's how we all get blessed. You know, the hand, the foot, the this, the that, all part of the same body ministry. And God speaking to one, speaking through one to another. And it's just amazing, you know, what God can do when we yield ourselves to him. So I thank you for being, you know, on the platform to share with us today. I thank everybody that's been in the room. It's been an amazing room. We are here. Just some quick announcements. We are here. Actually, this, I used to do my rooms. Sister Bridget knew I didn't used to do these early morning rooms. I used to do my rooms later on in the day, but October 1 was when God called for this room. And I've been doing it. Sometimes it's hard. You know, I had to get up. I have to get up at 3:15 my time in order to start this room at 4:15. You know, it takes me an hour to get myself together, you know, get myself in the mood and all of that and stand before the Lord and so on, you know, and then that's early for me. I don't do that stuff. You know, mine is I can do night vigil. I can go all night long. I can go 3 days, you know, without sleep. But once I lay down, don't wake me up. You know, that's my thing. My wife knows that, you know, but lately God's been waking me up. And I actually set my alarm just to show you what God's doing. Being transparent here. I set my alarm. You know, first I said at 3:30, then I said at 3:15, you know, but every time I'm getting up now earlier than that before the alarm starts rings. I don't know what is it, you know, so I know it is God doing something new. Today I got up and I looked at the clock. It was 3:13. And my alarm was set to go off 2 minutes later. Something like that happened also yesterday. And it's like, what is this thing? You know, I'm getting up earlier and earlier now every day because God called for something, you know, and I know that this is how God works. When God says it is time, then he begins to, an unction goes from God. This is the begin. God is the beginning of all things. Don't let anybody think, oh, I did this, then God did that. No, God said first. Philippians 2 and 13, he said, it is God that maketh us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So God first said, it is time, you know, to favor his people. It is time to get my wheat into my barn, you know, and then God begins to stir your heart up because there's an unction that went out from God. That's time. And when it is time, God is say, you know, God will say, look, who's going to go down there and make my children, you know, get up from slumber. That's right. And the spirit of prayer would say, I will do it. You know, I'm going to go to them and wake them up. You know, they say, well, fine. You go and prosper and get them to come up and meet me in the mount. Hallelujah. You know, so this is what God is doing. And he's doing it. And, you know, I feel it tugging, you know, and I get up now. I'm so energized. You know, 2 days ago, I was so tired during the day. I said this yesterday in the room. And I'm like, and my wife said, yeah, you know, and I said, well, this thing is getting to me, you know. So I said, well, let me just go to bed real early today. So I went to bed around 6:30 something, which is strange for me. I don't do that. I don't sleep during the day. You know, I got up about, you know, I got up around 11:27. I looked at the time. I thought it was 3 something. 11:27. Why? You know, I need to sleep some more, you know, but you see, God is just tugging at our hearts, you know, and this is it, you know, and harden not your heart in the day when God is tugging at your heart, you know, go with the flow. That's what he's doing now. He's calling for something. So we better go with the flow. You know, you get on this train because this train is moving. Go leave the station soon. You get on this train, give him your first fruits in the morning. And this is what I've been doing by the grace of God. I know for some of you, like Sister Bridget, I know you are in the UK. My time that I'm getting up is seven. You are already 7 hours ahead, you know, but everywhere you are, whoever you are, wherever you are, You know, Psalm 5:3 said, O Lord, in the morning will thou hear my voice, and I, in the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee. You know, give him your first fruits. When you get up in the morning, you know, before you begin to do this and that, just give him your first fruits. You know, and that's what we've been doing in this room. And if you are available and it falls as a good time for you, you can come and join us. You know, God's been giving us, I believe, you know, I believe with all my heart, God's been giving us due meat in due season, you know, and different subjects here and there as God's calling for it. There's one subject I've been trying to do. God's been holding me back from it, but I'll get to it, you know, and when he allows it, you know. So you pray for us as we pray for you, and let's pray for the body of Christ. Let's pray together for this revival. You know, we need it everywhere, to the point where, you know, wherever you go, whether in person or in the spirit, you know, Holy Ghost begins to break out. That's real revival. You know, Holy Ghost begins to break out because you're there, because, you know, the glory of God has risen upon you, you know. So, and I'm so blessed that Sister VL, you came and fired this room up today. So likewise, Sister Bridget, Holy Ghost, that is already in you. You came in here and you lit up the place. And that's what we must do. Wherever we go, Jesus said, let your light so shine. You can't light a candle, folks, and put it under the bushel. Well, that was in the olden days. We're not using candles now, except people just want to use it for a romantic evening or whatever. You put that light in the ceiling now. It's what we do. You can't hide it under some table. No, that light must shine. You know, this is what we are called to be. And we're also called to be the salt. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. You know, John 8:12. But he also told his disciples, ye are the light of the world, in Matthew 5. Verses 12 to 14 and 16, he's telling us that, look, you are not only, from 13, you are the salt of the earth, you are the light of the world, and all these things. And you cannot but let your light shine. You got to let it shine. So our prayer today, my parting prayer for the room today is, Lord, help us that we may make our light to shine. Hallelujah. Shine through me, Lord. Lily of the valley, shine through me. Fairest of 10,000, let me be a reflection of your light. You know, let me be a reflection of your light. We can't do anything but by him. But let's be yielded. Let's make ourselves available. You know, one day I did a room here, I forget, several weeks ago. I said, you know, the Holy Ghost, you know, invasion or something like that. You know, let Holy Ghost interrupt my day, you know, and make myself available. You know, sometimes I'm trying to go this way. Holy Ghost wants me to go the other way. Make yourself available. That's all it is. That's all he's looking for, which was what we read today, that I'm looking for a man that will make himself available and stand in the gap. That's it. That's all he wants. You know, you can just get somebody that is yielded, you can do all kinds of great things. One person. Christ, look at all he did. You know, a few disciples that he taught, look at all they did. See where we are today. Millions and millions and millions and millions, hundreds of millions of people that come to believe Christ just through a handful of people. If you can have one person, you know, one person can make a big difference. Never count yourself out and say, oh, well, I'm just one person. Well, that's all he needs. Just needs one person. Praise God. And if one person will believe the Lord, that's really all he needs. We covered this yesterday. One person in Hebrews 11:7 that believed God, Noah, condemned the rest of the world for not believing. So God will always have a remnant. All he needs is one person. And if there's one person that will believe him, the rest of the people will be condemned. That's exactly what happened in Hebrews 11:7. It said, by the which act he condemned the world. Because he believed God and the rest of the people didn't believe. So there will be a remnant. A remnant that are being called to prayer. Will that be you today? Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for this room. I thank you for those who have been here to listen in, and those that have come to share, and those that will yet listen in. And we know that you're calling us to prayer, to put on a mantle of prayer, to stand in the gap and to make ourselves available. We thank you for your righteousness. Because, yes, you are the God of mercy. You are the gracious God, keeping mercy for thousands and blessing and forgiving iniquity and so forth. But you are also the God that will by no means, you know, let the guilty go free unless they repent. We thank you, Lord, because you have shown us both the mercy, the goodness of God, and the severity of the Lord. And if we choose your goodness, we don't have to deal with your severity. May we and the church, all of us, may we truly, you know, hasten and quicken our pace and get up from slumber and hear the voice of awakening and to know that the Lord means business and he's no longer messing around. He said, my word shall no longer be delayed, but that which I have spoken, I will do it. Hallelujah. Ezekiel 12 and 28. So he will now thoroughly purge his floor and he will establish and the kingdom of God that must be established, the everlasting righteousness that must come in is coming through us, folks. We are the ones to bring in everlasting righteousness and to anoint the most holy as we become a full expression of the Father. Glory to God. So now, Lord, we thank you. May we carry this knowledge of God in us as we go throughout the rest of our day. May we walk under the mantle of prayer. And we talk about, you know, the ladies have talked about receiving that burden in prayer. May we carry this light. Your burden is light, you know, and your yoke is easy. And help us, Lord, to make ourselves available for prayer. And teach us to be truly thankful as we pray and bring our supplications and our requests. Let us also be truly thankful for what you've already done. Father, we thank you, Lord. We give you all the praise and glory for this room. In Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Well, there's a time for everything. A time to start the room. And a time to close the room. And we've been here now almost very, very close to 3 hours. So I think that's a good portion of the day that we put into this room. And God bless every one of you. Have a blessed day in the UK. I know it's already past 2 o'clock in the afternoon for you on the East Coast. Yeah, maybe it's now after 9 a.m. on the West Coast. Maybe it's after 6 a.m. Here in Arizona is 7:10. Right now, a.m. in the morning. And it's going to be another beautiful day because the Lord has commanded the day to be subject to us. Sister VL prayed that powerful prayer, you know, and this day will be subject to us. The lines are falling onto us surely in pleasant places today. And, you know, the Son of Man, he said, is Lord also of every day, Sabbath or not. It don't make the Lord any difference. You know, my Father walketh and I walk until now. God never took a break or anything. Say, my Father is still working. You know, so don't tell me it's Sabbath day and therefore you know, we do nothing. No, my Father walketh and I walk. Hallelujah. So wherever we go to, you know, let's be walking because he's our Father and he is walking. Thank you all so very much. And God bless you. Come back and visit us again whenever you can. We're back same time tomorrow morning. And I believe we may do another room. I got a schedule for today. I'll see how it goes. Maybe I'll do it. Maybe I'll push it tomorrow morning. I don't know. But we'll have our marriage ministry room also. My wife and I will later on today. We may have another room, you know, or I'll push it to tomorrow morning. Depends how I feel. But we will be in this room by the grace of God every day now in the mornings, same time, 4:15 Arizona time. In the UK, it'll be 11:15 a.m. for you. In Nigeria, we have some friends that visited us from Nigeria today. It's 12:15 p.m. in the afternoon. East Coast, it'll be 6:15 a.m. California, 3:15 a.m. It's early, but, you know, if you can do it, you'll be blessed. Thank you all so much. Savio, Sister Bridget, and everybody in the room. We love you. You go through your day. Have a powerful day. And if you are not yet following the club, I think this one is House of Faith. Well, yesterday I think it was Walking with God. It may be Walking with God, it may be House of Faith. Follow them. those clubs, you will get notifications when we start the room. Or if you're following me as an individual, Lady Ebon, my wife, when we open these rooms, you will also get notification. And we hope to see you again. God bless you. And if we are on Clubhouse and we see your rooms as well, we'll also join in and fellowship with you. Have a blessed day, everyone. And remember, keep your head up. He's your glory, and the lifter of your head. And finally, also remember, our theme scripture for these morning rooms has been Leviticus 6, 12, and 13. And I also love to say that at the end of each room, every day, every morning, we must come and lay the wood in order again upon the altar. And we must fan the fire. We must rekindle the flame. If the fire is going out, we must reignite it. It must never be put out. A fire must never be put out. We must not allow it to be put out. This, not this time around. You know, so let's keep the fire burning. God bless you all. We love you, and stay in his presence. Have a great day, everyone. Thank you for being here. The room will now be closing in 5, 4, 3, 2, and 1. Shalom, everyone. Peace.